I think it's a privilege to call yourself a PS3-ologist. I mean, it's something that you earn. A PS3-ologist does, and he or she creates better and new realities, and they know when someone needs help that absolutely they can help them. I saw that manual for the first time, played it for the first time, and boom, poof, boom, I knew. Being a PS3-ologist, it's different. I see someone playing another video game system, and I know, as a PS3-ologist, I'm the only one that can help. As a PS3-ologist, I look at these spectators and I ask them, are you on board or are you off board? But those that are off board are actually on board, like all the rest of us. But if you're already on board and think you've fallen off board, then you might get bored realizing that you've got a long way to go to get back on board. People can continue to think that Halo 3 is the answer. Great. When my kids survive after a post-apocalyptic Holocaust in 2149, I will be looking down from my giant spaceship in the sky, and I will realize that I was making the right choices for my kids, and more importantly, when I say my kids, I mean the whole world. I mean, that's PS3-ology.
A PS3-ologist can be defined by a single question. Would you want others to achieve the knowledge you now have?
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
And welcome to Evil Avatar Radio, episode number 91. I have to explain what you just heard, because there's both guys in here, James and Dennis. We're Straxless at the moment. We're asking, what is this?
I got it at the end.
Yeah, okay.
I sort of understood. You know, I was picking up what they were putting down.
There's a video floating around, like Tom Cruise was honored at some Scientology award convention, whatever. They make their stuff up anyway. So he was... And there's this long speech of him basically doing exactly what that was, but in the Scientologist way, which is seriously the same thing. Seeing them from my spaceship in the year 20, whatever, and, that sort of thing. It's bizarre, but then again, ever since that happened with him, what hasn't been bizarre from him? So that's a rip on it for the PS3. So there you go. Anyway, welcome to the show, and for those of you watching, welcome to the studio.
How you doing?
If you were wondering why we were so late to get on, that's the reason. We were trying to find a good position for that webcam. So there we go. See you guys in the chat. It was difficult.
Well, high technology like our webcam, you know, reaching into the Evil Avatar technology vault to pull this thing out, it's tough to deal with. You can't, you know, just mess around with advancements of this sort.
There are
paper clips and plastic bases that won't fit on correctly to be dealt with. So
you know what I just realized? We're 6 seconds behind in the anything we
I'm
talk
sure
about
looks incredibly stupid.
Yeah, it's like, oh wait, there's what they were just referencing. It's like if I do the introductions right now, they're gonna see it before it actually
takes place. That's fine. We'll figure out how that works eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's about a 20 or 30 second. Oh wow, a 20 or 30 second delay in the audio, huh? From the point of it getting to the
stream. Yeah, we're 6 seconds behind live.
We're 6 seconds behind live, and then the stream even pushes that back further. So,
right.
Wow. You get to look in the future and then listen to the past. That's interesting.
Okay.
Hey, Zilladan, you want to step in here real quick before Phil calls and wave to the camera, since we can't get you on.
Yeah, we don't have enough. We don't have enough USB cable to get the camera where we need it to be.
We'll remedy that next episode, yeah.
Of everything. So we can't get Dana. We obviously don't have quite the aspect ratio enough to get Straxus into the shot right now.
There she is. She popped in, and she's out.
Boy, because he's at Applebee's.
he's Yeah, he's eating good in the neighborhood right now, and or talking to an apple, one of the others. And he'll be here very shortly. You will see him sit right here. Again, you won't hear this until a lot later, but you'll see him sit right here. In the Mickey Mouse shirt, as you guys have already noticed, that would be Dennis, newly acquired owner of a 360.
Yes.
Finished Crackdown yet?
No, haven't finished it yet.
But you started Assassin's Creed.
Started Assassin's Creed. I got $40. Can't argue with that.
So you go from a game that is all about jumping around rooftops and doing different missions to a game that's all about jumping around rooftops. Well, you don't even jump. You're climbing around rooftops. And doing different missions. So
Good.
Whatever similarities there might seem to be there aren't just because you got finished playing Crackdown mere days ago. Like, there really are a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's medieval Crackdown. So
yeah.
It's great stuff.
Well, not even medieval, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so you guys watching this in the chat room, let us know how things are going, because not always are we able to pay attention with everything that's going on inside the chat room, but with this new webcam and stuff, just let us know. Who's got the gray hair? That would be that would be James. That's James. Yeah, we didn't finish the introduction. That's James right there with the gray hair. You know who the hell I am. But Dennis there and Strax will be here very, very shortly. We're supposed to get a call from Phil. He hasn't called in yet. Phil Kefkateran from the original Evil Avatar Radio is supposed to call in tonight and tell us about his new podcast that he's got starting up. However, his movie starts at 7:20 Central Time, so he's got about another, I don't know, 8 or so minutes to give us a call before his movie starts. He was going to see Cloverfield, and he was going to call in and tell us about his new podcast, but I just don't know that that's going to happen or not here tonight. If he doesn't, B.A. Penguin is also a part of the podcast. He's the online producer for the show. He may want to call in. If that show's going to start this week, he may want to call in and at least fill us in on what Phil can't right now, because he's going to be watching a movie. So, I don't know. We'll see if that happens tonight or not. But anyway, lots of news going around. I'm so scared to click off the chat room, because I'm afraid something bad will happen with the web stream, and I'll have to go fix it, because I can't monitor everything. But plenty of news today. I don't know about any of you guys, but for some reason I look at the calendar. It says January 21st, but God, if it doesn't feel like December 24th.
That's right.
It doesn't.
Why does it feel like that, Scott?
I can't put my finger on it too well, but there is something in the air. Speaking of air, I want to talk about. Did you see that? The Mac Air.
Of course I did.
Holy crap!
I'm a zealot convert now.
Oh, I watched. I was watching the live blogging just to see. First off, I'm glad I got the new iPhone features, because now I can, you know, rearrange my front page of the iPhone and do tons of different things. Wait a second. Which way do I want to go? Which way is it? There it goes.
Right.
I got different home pages and stuff like that. Anyway, cool stuff. You can't see it up there. But
I have to get one of those now. I've decided that I want one of those.
It's great, but I want a Mac Air now.
I don't know that you do. I don't know that you do.
I want it when it's not like $3,500, but...
It's not $3,500.
It is when you add on the solid-state drive.
Yeah, you don't need to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not worth $3,500.
Because it's another grand.
If you wanted a different laptop, I don't know, man. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe the Air's an interesting thing. It seems like a really niche product to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly how well it's going to go over. I mean, it's got the ultra portability going on, but I think you lose a little bit in the design.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We can talk about that later. I'd be interested to hear what Jeremy has to say about it.
Yeah, well, he doesn't even have a laptop still. He hasn't fixed his yet, has he?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, I don't think he's still got one.
I don't think that whole RMA thing has gone through yet with his hard drive.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even know where I was whenever we... There's something in the air. Back on topic. About why this feels like Christmas Eve instead of January 21st. No, of course, I have to be talking about Endless Ocean for the Wii. Of course, no, not again. No, I'm talking about Burnout Paradise. Yes. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Game comes out tomorrow.
Do you need someone to buy it for you to complete the sensation of it being Christmas? Should I buy it for you and give it to you tomorrow?
I buy my own Christmas stuff anyway, okay. So it's still going to feel like Christmas.
I didn't know how far you wanted to take this. So,
well, I don't want to give you a key to come into my house tonight and leave it sitting around the house.
Right.
You know, I'll leave
I will if you give me cookies.
That scares me, no.
So are you getting both versions?
Yeah, I am. I'm picking up a PS3 and I'm picking up a 360.
That's good.
I am, because,
that's
I don't know,
a
you know.
Weird, but, yeah, that's good.
You know, it is, but I got a feeling that they're going to start getting their own, like, exclusive content. It may be in the form of just a car, but for my fandom, that justifies it.
It would drive you up a wall if you didn't have both versions.
There's also you, because you're only getting the PS3 version.
Did you see what I did there? Drive you up a wall.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Drive me into a wall.
Yeah, whatever. If you didn't have everything available to burn out with, then I'm sure you would go crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that I would pick it up on the Wii.
Man, yes, you would. Oh, my God.
I don't know. I don't play the Wii.
You would
just
if there was burnout
on it.
I didn't pick it up for the GameCube when it was out for that. But and I've still yet to pick up Burnout 3 as Xbox Originals. How did that work out? You guys got Psychonauts.
Yeah, she's the one who took care of it. I didn't have anything to do with it.
But you played a little bit of it, right?
Yeah.
The load times, like, really quick? I mean,
almost non-existent. I mean,
but you never played the original, so you're not really exactly sure what to compare it to. But,
right.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I know that almost non-existent is pretty fast by any metric, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there you go.
It's fine. I'm a little peeved that it doesn't want to fit inside my TV correctly. It wants to stay in a 4:3 aspect ratio, mm-hmm. and there's not really anything I could do with that.
Nothing, so. Yeah, exactly. Not a thing.
Even the stretch fill feature on my TV didn't blow it out to full, like 16:9 or 16:10 or whatever. So that was mildly annoying, but it seemed fine. It ran really well for me, at least. I think Dana had some trouble with it when she was starting it up.
Let's get her on real quick. You over there, Dana?
Yeah.
There you are. You played it. First, you had some problems with it, right?
Yeah, I had trouble getting it started.
It just wouldn't start for some reason? What's going on?
It was not reacting to any button pushing whatsoever.
So what did you have to do? Just restart the console, or...?
Yeah, well, I restarted the game first, and then I restarted the console.
Okay. But you finally got it to work. Anything change, or just decided to start working?
No, just decided to react to me pressing start, which was nice.
Well, there you go. All right, then. So how do you like it?
I didn't really play. I'd played as much of it on PC as I.
Oh, I didn't know you'd ever. I didn't know you'd ever played it on PC.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get anywhere near finished. This was back when I didn't really play anything but Zuma.
Yeah, but you did finish up Mass Effect, huh?
Yeah.
Good job.
I know.
Are you satisfied now, or do you have to go back and do some more stuff?
I don't think I can play it. Like, a lot of people are playing it twice. I don't think I can do that.
Yeah.
I don't need every achievement.
But now you know that guns can be upgraded. And
now I know that,
sold.
Yeah. It would be so much easier because I know that the tank has a cannon.
That's like going through. Awesome. It's like going through Crackdown and only at the final boss realizing, you mean there's a... They have missile launchers in this game? They have,
right.
You know... Mm-hmm. And, you know, were they heat seekers? Did they have the ones that...
There were two.
Yeah, there were two different ones.
There was,
oh, what
there
was
one that wasn't heat seeking.
I'm trying to remember what the thing was called. Firefly, wasn't it?
Sure. I don't know.
I can't remember.
It was the one where you would sit on that turn on the interstate and just shoot cars as they drove by.
Yeah.
And that never got old?
No, ever. But seriously, to play through that and then realize. So, yeah, that's the same thing with your weapons upgrade. Now you can go back and do so much more.
Yeah.
I know you probably don't want to. But
well, I didn't even use any of my stuff until... and by stuff, I mean other than the pistol until, like, level 30.
Wow.
So,
you get an achievement in Rainbow Six for that.
You know. Well, I knew there was... At least I knew there was stuff. I just was like, that seems complicated.
Yeah.
And I got that achievement for having more shield damage than health damage at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, didn't even mean to do that.
You got so many achievements in that game. But good job for finishing it. Now you're going to start on, well, obviously Psychonauts, but are you ever going to go back to Assassins?
Probably. There's no TV now.
There's none.
So.
There's absolutely none.
There's time.
Yeah, for you. Finally for you, huh?
Yeah.
Because you watch a lot of TV.
I do.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's good. Okay, we'll wait a little bit and see if Jeremy will come in before we go around the room and see what everybody's going to be playing. Yeah, you held up your drink there, and it was nothing but blacked out.
Yeah, it's fine.
You could see the silhouette of a bottle.
I reverted to text to explain what I was drinking.
That's what you're going to have to do. But yeah. Let's see. Yep, cam's still working. That's great. It can be bigger. I don't know. There's probably some place that you can go and have it, you know, increased in size. That's just what we've got right now as far as on the chat room. We tried a bigger size earlier today, but it was cutting off the frame of the shot and everything, and the refresh rate and everything was a little bit slow. The quality wasn't as good. So that's the size we're going. We're going to try out a couple of different other programs that also do streaming with the camera and stuff. And Jeremy, I've got word now that Jeremy is here. So he doesn't know that he knows that we're getting one, but he doesn't know where the webcam is yet. So we'll see if he notices when he comes in. Speaking of the webcam, I wish we could get a webcam shot of the webcam because it looks like portal orbs. It looks like something from
GLaDOS. Yeah,
it looks
like one of those little things that you tore off of GLaDOS at the end.
Yeah.
Just because a little base fell off of it. And it's like one of those 40-year-old, you know, old-school Logitech orb webcams.
Yeah, it is. But that's what it looks like. Ah, goodness. Let's see. Let's go to the news here and see what we've got. Well, no, we've got Jeremy now. Turn on your mic.
Hey.
All right. So where you been?
Ah, man. I went to eat at Applebee's before taking Megan back to her mom's.
Yeah.
They took like an hour to bring our food. So then we had to take her home and then drive back down this way.
Was it good food? Better have been for you to be 20
it
minutes late.
It wasn't worth waiting an hour.
No, it wasn't worth it. Well, welcome to the show, everyone who's watching. This is Jeremy over here in the Dave and Buster's shirt.
Oh, where's the camera? Oh, hey.
what we realized with the cam is that's like, you know, like a 2 or 3 second delay.
Yeah.
Our show is like a 30 second delay. So
so they're seeing us before they're hearing
comedy
us.
Comedy ensues.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
So they'll see things that are going on. Might be says hello in the chat room. You don't have a laptop either.
Well, at least I get my RMA number. It's now off, you know, in some other state, hopefully getting repaired.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's good then.
Also, I sent that 360 off finally. I called him up and I tried registering it on the web, the one I bought off eBay that was red-ringed.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't register. So I was like, oh, man. So I called him up. They're like, yeah, we're showing this. They asked me for my address. So I start giving it to him. It says California. Like, no, I'm not in California. Like, what's your email address? Give it to him. Well, I've got this. I was like, no, that's not me. Like, did you buy it new or used? I was like, I got it for Christmas. He's like, oh, well, let me re-register it to you.
Nice.
Like, all right, yeah. That's how you do it.
You fooled the system.
Well, not yet. You know, they may say it's been tampered with or something, which who knows if it's been opened before. It doesn't look like it has been, but, you know.
Yeah,
I haven't got a new one back yet. We'll see.
I send an advertisement for the show to Major Nelson every week, so.
Yeah.
Sophie's probably not listening. I think you're safe.
He's going to catch me. And
I think you're safe. Well, now that you're here, what have you been playing this weekend? What did you get to play?
Weekend, very little. All I played was Rock Band this weekend, but I played some Mass Effect.
No kidding, you
week.
Did. Yeah, I saw you. Was it Sunday, I think?
Yeah, like, well, Becky's sister and brother-in-law were down, so we downloaded like 20 new tracks and, you know. No, we didn't download 20 tracks. We downloaded $20 worth of tracks. That's what it was. So about 10 tracks.
Good job.
A little bit more. And yeah. Good stuff, man.
Did you play the Monkees?
Monkees, yes. That's the first one we got. Awesome. Love the Monkees.
Good job. So you played that. I think you played Mass Effect over the weekend. I think I saw you play something.
No, I didn't play over the weekend. I played over the week leading up to
maybe
this
that
weekend.
Was the case.
But yeah.
Cool.
Now,
how far are you at on that?
Her brother-in-law was addicted to Overlord, though, man. The whole time we were there, he's playing Overlord. He got pretty far in it, too, about halfway through the game.
Wow.
Over the weekend.
Goodness.
Yeah.
One of those times that you do want more than one Xbox, huh?
Yeah, that's why.
That's why you finally got on the ball and sent that
called
off.
And yeah.
Well, good job, good job. What? Let's see. Well, that's what you did, Dennis. Let's go over to you. What did you play this weekend?
Oh, I played Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, good job. How far have you gotten to a kill yet, or what?
Yes, I've gotten two so far.
All right, good job. That's it, Assassin's Creed.
That's about it.
When did you start playing? I didn't see you playing that this weekend.
It started Friday night.
Maybe I saw Assassin's Creed, but in my head it said Crackdown. I don't know. I'm not sure. Zilla Danny, we already know what she played this weekend, and she's eating dinner, so we'll just leave her at that. If you want to call and listen to her chew, that's fine. James, what'd you get to do this weekend? You worked a lot, I know. There's a camera right there.
Yeah, I can't be bothered to.
When we start laughing at this stuff, now you know.
Yeah, I'm in rehearsals. I'm in technical rehearsals right now, which is about, you know,
All right, it's a lot of hours, a lot of time at work. The good thing is, though, this is a fundamentally tech light show. You know, anytime you run back to the classics, anything in the Shakespeare's canon, you know, you don't necessarily have to do lots of fancy bells and whistles and super crazy tricks that the guys backstage have to deal with. So, you know, me and two of my other friends at work set our laptops up backstage and basically played Warcraft for about 85 hours this week backstage at work. But it's okay, because I figured out how to make it all right. I got my boss to play.
Yeah, I got an email from him saying, hey, Jeremy,
yeah,
can you set it up so I can play Warcraft?
You're kidding me, the boss?
No! His boss.
Yeah, yeah, my big boss.
Bring me an application. No, I'm
right. You got to stop signing people up on Warcraft, man. At some point, I'm going to have to tell somebody no. We've only got a T1. It's
right?
Not that much, really,
right?
Yeah, to share okay. Between 200 people in a building,
that's
especially
fine.
When, like, a dozen of you are playing Warcraft.
Well, we play. Well, I mean, we play off-peak, so, because we play either, yeah. You know, in the middle of the day or like, early in the day or late in the day, yeah. Something
in
like
all
that.
Seriousness, I don't think Warcraft is that big of a, you know, deal. Yeah. I mean, we had a dozen of us down in the basement of Planet Games playing games on a DSL with, you know.
It's true. It's very true.
What, 256K upload?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we liked it.
Should be fine.
No, but it's a little bit funny, you know, because you're sitting there at work and it's like, it's not, you know, I don't sit in a cubicle. I don't have, like, product that I have to be, like, dealing with at every moment of every day. And there are a lot of times when, like, I don't even have a minute to stop and, like, sit down backstage and read a book. You know, there's a lot of shows like that. Sometimes you're sitting for hours and hours on end while your part of things, just you're not anywhere near it. Like, you're not, it's fine. Everybody at you know, everybody that I work with has a laptop, just about. And you're all going to spend some time either browsing the internet or doing whatever. Just so happens, you know, I know the IT guy.
Sitting right over there.
So he helps me out, you know, in this regard. So these people want to browse the internet. I want to play Warcraft, you know. I can do some, whatever, browse the auction house while I'm at work. That's fine. But it's funny because you're sitting there playing, you know, and like, and your boss comes walking up behind you. And at this point in your head, you're like, okay, this could basically go one of two ways. And luckily, it's always gone the great way. And then there's, of course, you know, the bigger boss.
Right, right.
And he's even walked by a couple of times. But as it turns out, I'm fairly certain that if he wasn't so maniacally busy, he would be playing as well. Because every time he sees me playing, he stops and he asks a lot of questions about, you know.
Yeah.
Like all the stuff I'm doing. And I'm like, yeah, man, you know, you can do all this other thing, go on these quests, make some gold, shoot some things, kill some things. It's really great.
You'd never get
I can see it. I can see the twinkle in his eye.
Yeah.
But
I can see how he'd be the kind of person, if he had time, he'd be all over it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it basically is a form of self-preservation to get the big guys to play with you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Yeah, so that's what I did. You know, I was relegated to backstage.
At that point, if bandwidth becomes a problem, well, we just got to buy more bandwidth.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying, you know, I'm not necessarily going to bring it up, but I'll sort of move the conversation in that direction.
The best, I guess you could say, that I've done is like my DS or the PSP.
Right.
And just little breaks here and there I play. That's about it.
Well, like I said, I got a weird job. I mean, there are times when we're busy nonstop, and then there are times when, seriously, you're sitting around forever. So everybody does that. It's well understood. As long as it doesn't ever once interfere with the, you know, parts of your job you're supposed to do, nobody cares.
Yeah, if I still worked at the movie theater back then, I'd sit up in the booth
the right thing.
Waiting for films to get over with so I could thread them back up. But
I'm dying to see what this webcam looks like.
Oh, okay. He's coming around here to look. That's what they see in the chat room. And your head pops in. But yeah, that's what they see in the chat room. So, and then this is what, you know, that's obviously the live feed that people can see. And we've got some people in the chat room there. We got 19 people viewing. And Blackwing and Bullet Food are in the chat room for the webcam just itself. But yeah, I think they're also in the main chat room as it is. So, but yeah, I want to thank everybody for joining in and watching us. So we think this is going to be a good idea.
Yeah, we like it. We'll try to make some improvements. Find a better camera angle.
Hey, Jeremy, did you bring that extension cable that you
had? Man, all right. So like, we got here.
We talked about this before.
I told Becky, I was like, hang on a second, I got to get something out of the back. So I run around the back, open up the, you know, the hatch to the back of her little tracker, and I'm looking around. She says, "Are you looking for that silver cable?" Yeah. Oh, like, did you take it inside? Yeah, I thought that was the cable we needed for the camcorder. I was like, oh, so I thought it was ready to go, but She took it in the house thinking it was something else. It's not here.
Let me write down that excuse. Blame Becky. All right. We got that one now. Okay, let's see. Let's take a break real quick, and then we'll come.
Break time?
Yeah, it's break time.
Unless you're on the webcam.
Unless you're on, then
no
you get to,
break
there's
the
no
webcam.
Break. You get to watch us. So, all right. That's great. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We will be right back with more here on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. Welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. Let's see. It is the second half of the first hour. I just needed something to say. Let's go to the weekly release, what we're getting out on the games and stuff this week. Let's see. Today we got Advance Wars Days of Ruin for the DS. I hear Advance Wars is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
You played it, right?
No. But, man, I heard enough about my buddies trying to get me to play it back in the GBA days, you know. It was always, why don't you have Advance Wars yet? You need to play Advance Wars with us. So,
great.
Anything I got hassled that much to play must be good.
By the way, I'm checking theweeklyrelease.com. If you want to see what comes out each week in games, DVDs, movies, all sorts of stuff, then check it out, weeklyrelease.com. Endless Ocean for the Wii comes out today. I'm actually kind of interested in that. It just looks like all you're doing is swimming underwater. I don't really know much else. I know Tycho talked about it today over at Penny Arcade, but for some weird reason, I'm interested in that. I don't know why, but yeah. Pacific Storm Allies for the PC came out today. Tomorrow, we're getting Pirates of the Burning Sea on PC. No More Heroes for the Wii. Mario and Sonic at the Olympics. I thought that was already... Oh, it's for the DS. Never mind. It is already out for the Wii.
Yes.
This is the DS version. Got that. And, of course, I was saving it for last. Burnout Paradise tomorrow for 360 and the PS3 game, obviously.
So are you picking up anything?
Yeah, you weren't here for that. Yeah, I'm picking up Mario and Sonic. You know, and I said this in the weekly release thread that was on Evil Avatar. That Burnout demo just totally sucked.
Really?
EA has ruined the franchise. They only give you one car. They give you three things to do in a huge open world. It sucks. It totally sucks. No, it's... Of course, that's what I'm picking up.
Am I detecting sarcasm tags?
Totally. He doesn't have the virtual console this week. Oh, man, I totally didn't even link to it because he doesn't have it up there. Way to go, Nick. Hey, Penguin, blame you. For the virtual console, see if I can remember.
I believe it was Adventures of Lolo 2.
Thank you.
And Super Street Fighter 2.
Bingo. Thank God you're here. Pronunciations and Wii stuff. Good job. Thanks for being here for that. Also, for Xbox Live Arcade, we're getting Undertow again. But this time it's free. Yes. That is our reward. Really our reward. Okay. If you go back and look at the apology letter, which... not necessarily was an apology letter. Nowhere in there did they apologize for the service. They said, we realize we've had some problems with the service due to the amount of people. That, like, nowhere in there was there an apology. Fine. I mean, doesn't matter. But the way it was stated was, in recognition, and I'm not, don't quote me on this, but if you go back and look at the letter, something about in appreciation, recognition for the success of Xbox Live, we will give you guys a free arcade game to silver and gold members.
It didn't say the success of Xbox Live with the exception of our recent failures?
No, didn't say anything about that. So then they give us Undertow for free, which I've heard is actually a pretty good game from what I understand. Still, this goes back to the situation of, if you bought this already, way to go. Here's a free game that you've already bought. However, they did say that you can call customer support and they will take care of you.
Because that's everybody's favorite thing to do.
Yes, call customer support. It doesn't say what they will do. It just says they'll take care of you in a very mafia-type way. So if anybody goes that route, please let us know what they do. I'm kind of curious. I didn't buy Undertow, so I'm actually, you know, like, oh, this is good. I'll get a free game out of it. But I didn't buy it. Anybody in here pick it up?
No.
Nope.
And I was going to say, we should mention, you know, before we move on from this, that there's a limited period of time that this will be available for free.
It's just a few days, right? From Wednesday to Saturday?
From Wednesday to Sunday, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think starting on Wednesday through to the last hour of the week.
To like 2 a.m. Monday for us. You know, you got to go in that Pacific time and everything. But yeah, it's Wednesday through Sunday is your opportunity to get this. Again, one of those things where it's like, well, what if I sent my box off for repair?
Yeah, I was going to say, what if your box is RM8 at the moment?
Yeah.
Is it going to come back with Undertow on it?
You know, I don't know. And is that another situation where when it comes
shake
back...
the magic 8-ball, signs point to no.
Yeah.
I didn't have to shake my 8-ball to know that.
I'm just curious, first off, I'm curious as to those people who've already bought Undertow, what is Microsoft support going to do? Is it just like, well, here's a redemption code for our backup game? Well, what if you've already bought that? You know, I'm very curious. So if you have to go that route, and if you do decide to go that route, please let us post
it
online.
There's so many people with their Xboxes sent off to be repaired that has to be a legitimate question.
Yeah, it's
by
not
so
a statistically insignificant number,
right?
In any other hardware generation,
well,
or
mine's
with any
off
other
being repaired. I've heard this from hardware. You know, plenty of people in Evil Avatar already.
Yeah,
mine. I just sent mine off. What do I do?
Yeah,
well, have fun with customer support, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm also curious if you do have your box sent off.
Know how that goes.
Will they recognize that and say, well, yeah, you're not there for that time period?
Yeah.
The other thing that I had a problem with that, it's all over now. It's all over the news and stuff. People know that you can do this. But it took people asking that question. Hey, I've already bought it. What do I do? In comment sections, both at MajorNelson.com and at Gamerscore blog. At the Gamerscore blog, it's the same thing. That whole little hint of, well, call customer support if you've already bought the game, mm-hmm. is buried in the comments section. So the initial read of that is that, oh, there's nothing here for me to do. I guess I'm just going to have to bite the bullet. Some people don't know that, yeah, you can call customer support if you want to go that way, and they'll do whatever they do. They'll shake their magic 8-ball and see what happens. I don't really know. So if anybody listening is going to go that route, let us know how that goes. We'd love to know. Moving on, let's see. Yeah, that's what we get this week. I will pick. Are you guys going to pick up Undertow?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, sure.
Yeah,
free,
it's free, man.
Exactly. It's got 16 player online multiplayer.
Okay.
I don't know what you do. Spear each other, or harpoon. I'm not sure, but I'm not. I don't know what you do in Undertow, but there you go. Moving on to some of the news for this week. Anybody got any highlights that stick out that they want to go into right now?
More Smash Brothers stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it got delayed.
Yeah, and more time to put in more stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
They've confirmed Ness is in.
Ness, Jigglypuff, and some new Pokemon.
Hang on, who the hell's Ness?
From Earthbound.
He was in Melee.
Okay, that's fine. I know he's from a game. I just didn't know what game he was from. Okay, but yeah, it got delayed, and there was more characters announced. The delay was pushed back from the 12th of February to the 9th of March.
Yes.
Who didn't see that coming?
I didn't, but only because I thought it was still coming out next month. I hadn't paid any attention to it whatsoever. So,
it was one of those things. For whatever reason, the closer we got without really hearing any more news, I kind of felt, something's wrong. Something's weird. We should know more about this right now. It's getting close. There should be some more stuff. And then, of course, slap right in the face. Delay. There's word that when they release, there was a rumor posted today. Again, rumor. We love to talk about those. That they're going to release on the Virtual Console the original Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
From the N64. On the Virtual Console the day that they release Brawl. I think it's a bad idea. I think they ought to release that on February 12th, the day that you're supposed to get Brawl, just as, you know, a little bit of, here, sorry we delayed it. Here you go. Here's the original.
Whet the appetite.
Yeah. I think that would do some major sales.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Just to hold everybody over. I think that would be great. So, who knows? But... now you guys can do a show of hands. Yes, we can. Nothing like reading the chat room late there. You guys listening to me read the chat room late. But yeah, Bullet Food Matt says that we can actually do a show of hands now. But with, you know, what is it, just the four of us in here? We can just say. We don't really need to do a show of hands. Just like, who's going to do it? Me. That's all you need. Let's see what else in the news. We got the delay of Smash Brothers. Anybody play the Turok demo?
Yeah, played a little bit of it today. Actually.
How'd you like it? What'd you think about it?
I was lukewarm about it, actually. I mean, I couldn't get terribly far. I was running out of time. I was trying to get a bunch of things played today, and I ran up on a segment that I didn't quite understand. I died a few times trying to get through it, and every single time, the checkpoint it put me back at was right before a cutscene that you couldn't skip. And it was like, you know, 90 seconds of cutscene. And it was just, you know, after the third time, I was like, I'm not going past this. Like, I'm not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how the save system's going to work in the final version, like if it's a save anywhere kind of thing. But, you know, everybody knows you don't like that. I don't even know how to have a discussion anymore about not being able to skip cutscenes. I don't know what to say. But, you know, shooting stuff was okay. Dinosaurs kept knocking me down. That wasn't a whole lot of fun. They're real sneaky. I couldn't tell where they were coming from. And that's about it. Didn't look especially good. You know, played okay. It was just, seriously, I was, like, really lukewarm about it. I didn't hate it. Didn't like it.
Okay.
I would have preferred hate to apathy, you know?
Of course you would. That's exactly right.
Well, I mean, you know, it makes better airtime, better copy, better whatever. But, it, I mean, whatever. I was just, eh, about it. It was okay. But, again, I don't know. It was just the demo was what it was. Maybe the whole thing would be a little bit better if it was, you know what was fun about it? This is just, like, the cheesiest, stupidest thing in the world.
That's usually the best part of
it. You know, it's really the dumbest thing in the world.
It's like playing monkeys on Rock Band.
I like shooting the humanoids. Mm-hmm. You know, I could care less about shooting the dinosaurs, but, like, I like shooting the guys. Because when you shoot them, it sparks all over the place the same way it does when Colonel O'Neill shoots Jaffa in Stargate.
As between the two of you.
Yeah.
Or
you know,
maybe
you know
the three.
Talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It looks like I'm shooting a Jaffa because, you know, it's like sparking all off of his armor and everything.
That's awesome.
It's the stupidest looking thing in the world, but I was like, oh, man, it's kind of cool. That was it. That was pretty much the extent of what I liked. So there.
No, I was reading the chat room.
Yeah, I know.
You don't have the chat room, so I kind of have to clue you in. Might be says that Dennis seems to be taking a nap. He's Bill Clintoning it up in there. Because apparently Bill Clinton today fell through a speech about MLK today or whatever. They have video of that. But, you know, politicians like to sleep because they are up all the time, apparently. But anyway. No, he is. He's fully alive and well. A lot of people can recognize what's on his shirt, Mickey Mouse. Your shirt, however, Strax, is a bit different. That is Dave and Buster's in the form of a Grateful Dead shirt.
Yep.
Regardless of what you think it may be, it is gaming-related in some way of whatever is on his shirt. He'll come in next week, different shirt, and you'll probably have questions about it, but it will be gaming-related, some tech-oriented. Dave and Buster's? I would say so.
No, I mean, like, seriously, every time I come in here, am I wearing a gaming-related shirt?
If it's that or, like, tech-related, you know,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Certainly related in some way to our lifestyle.
Unless
I'll
it's just a
much.
Blank.
I wonder if it's a Monday thing, because I know I wear a lot of shirts that are just plain shirts that have nothing on them to work.
Yeah, so. Not on Mondays, apparently.
Okay. That's, I don't know. Maybe that says something about me and Mondays. I don't know. Probably says nothing at all. I don't know.
I don't see you but Mondays. So really, that's all I know.
You keep talking, keep drinking my hot chocolate.
You go right ahead. The infamous hot chocolate we so love around here. Dennis is, you know, nursing waters, as am I right now.
Yeah, I'm out of root beer.
Yeah, you were doing the root beer thing, which, oddly enough, on a webcam, looks exactly like a bottle of beer.
I got a question. You allowed to do that?
What? I don't know. You're allowed to do it, but not mention it, I would
okay.
think.
That's cool. That's cool. I think I could probably do without mentioning it.
I think you're allowed to do it as long as you don't mention it. I don't
all
know,
right.
though.
Sometimes, I'm just saying, I could really use one.
Mondays, man.
Yeah. I've got this whole case. I got a Beers of the World from my
That's
Peter,
right, you
from,
did, yeah.
from my Peter Pan after the run was over. She gave me a you know, cuz like wardrobe people get tips sometimes, and like other people get, you know, different appreciative gifts. Obviously, if you're a crew member, you know, if you're a giant dude who stands in backstage in dark clothing, you get alcohol. It's a universally understood rule.
Yeah.
So I got a giant case of Beers of the World, almost all of which I like quite a bit. So, you know, I thought about it, but whatever. I didn't know if
I just, as long as we don't mention it on the air, I think it's fine.
As long as I don't leave the bottle in that trash can right there.
Oh, yeah. You take that with you. I have no idea. But
it's just a question. I don't plan on doing it or anything.
Yeah.
I would never do that. I just...
In case anybody in management's listening, he doesn't plan to do that.
Never.
Ever. Next week.
Anyway, I just thought I'd bring it up. I didn't know if maybe you knew.
No, we're not going to have a drunken radio show next week. That man can hold his liquor.
Yeah.
He can. So, they're in radio. I hear Coke is big there.
Was he serious? Was Trek serious? It's not a David Buster. Okay, somebody. Yeah. Dave and Buster's.
It's Dave and Buster's. He's in Canada. I don't know that they have.
Oh, no. No, I don't think they do.
I don't think they have it up in Canada.
I think everybody's got something like Dave and Buster's somewhere. Dave and Buster's used to be much cooler. I mean, it's not bad now, but... They used to kick the little kids out at like 9 p.m. or something like that.
Yeah,
and you used to could smoke in the midway area, the arcade area. Man, I'm just saying. I'm just saying I can't remember as many times having as much fun playing video games as I was with a scotch and soda in one hand and like a cigarette in the other with my hand on the wheel of a Hydro Thunder machine. I just kept swiping the card.
Chuck E. Cheese for adults.
Oh, man, it was wonderful.
That's the best way to describe it, except, God, I wish they'd put a plastic ball playpen in there again. Those were fun. I just can't get in them now and not look like a...
Something that should be arrested.
Exactly right.
Right.
Let's see, what else is in the news? We're looking at Tuesday of last week. Spore was confirmed for Mac.
Hey, that's really nice, actually. I'm happy about that.
For whatever reason, I thought it was coming out for the Mac. I thought it was, but yeah, they had it going over at Macworld. People were looking at that. We'll talk about the Mac Air.
Good for you, Mac guys.
Next hour.
I like things on Mac.
Yeah.
I mean, I just still cannot be bothered to find a copy of XP so that I can boot camp.
I understand.
Over to Windows. I kind of want to, but then I think about having to install XP, and I'm just like, I don't want to do it.
I've got an XP partition, but I didn't actually start playing, you know, the Orange Box until I was able to run it under Linux and Wine. So,
there's a lot of things I could play over there, but I'm so used to. I've become so accustomed to being able to work through the Mac OS that I, even though I would be playing something I wanted to play, I would become extremely frustrated at not, I mean, the first time I would try to hot corner out of something, I'd freak out, I'd get angry, and I'd uninstall it. So I'm not going to bother.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. Not for me. So, yeah, but that's a good thing. Spore on the Mac, very, 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 very good thing.
Still think you should try Crossover, though, so you can play some of those Windows games in the Mac interface.
Yeah, I probably should. I've been avoiding it, but yeah, what are you gonna do? I'd like to step back into Eve, for example.
Yeah.
Because the Mac client's kinda it's not extremely happy for me. But they did a massive upgrade to their graphics engine and everything. Brought it a little more into modern era of MMO stuff. There's a fair amount of MMO stuff in the news.
Like
while I'm talking there. Well,
I'm looking at the chat room.
RIP like the Star Trek MMO.
Yeah, there was rumored that was moved over to Cryptic earlier in the week. And then, of course, I think GameSpot broke the news of it being confirmed that everybody working on that game was totally laid off.
Yeah.
And it's dead now. Lots of jobs getting axed here lately. There was earlier in the week, there was, what was it, Midway. Had a ton of studio layoffs over in Austin. And, I feel bad about that. And also, of course, the Star Trek MMO. Everybody working on that, again, was totally laid off. So I hate to hear news like that. And I didn't read the story. I just really read I looked at the headline. It was confirmed they're all laid off. I didn't know if there was a sense of it's just not in the budget or whatever the case may be. I'm not sure what happened. Why that reason was.
I don't know.
Bet J.J. Abrams has something to do with it.
That sort of reminds me.
Blame him.
Just as a little aside, with the talk of the Leisure Suit Larry game coming out, I went and read up on the history of Sierra Online and what became of it and its properties. And I noticed that they talked about when they shut down the original Sierra offices, that that's where the Babylon 5 game was being made at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
yeah.
why it completely disappeared.
Sadness, man.
Even though it was nearly done.
That was real sadness.
Yeah.
I was happy about that game.
Looked forward to it, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We saw it at E3 in...
It was 99.
99.
Yeah.
It looked really, really good.
Well, let's see. What else? We've only got a few more minutes left in this hour here.
You still got a mouse pad for that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you still use mouse pads?
No.
I think so.
Good point.
NASA wants an MMO.
Yeah. I, for you especially, I particularly, you know, put that story in there because I'm like, he would love to read about this. As would I. I haven't even read the story, but I know that they want to make something like that, which would be very interesting. I'm not sure on the details. Did you look over any of that?
No, I haven't yet. I only just saw the story yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't know. I shouldn't have even brought it up because it's the kind of thing I could talk about for a minute. Not just because it's an MMO, but because it's, you know, because it's NASA.
Yeah.
And a lot of us feel pretty strongly about, you know, the space program in general.
Yeah.
And how NASA chooses to relate with to the world at large, specifically.
Not very well.
Not very well. At all.
No, not at all.
Seriously, it takes a bureaucracy to make space boring.
Yeah.
Space and, like, traveling to other planets and, you know, sending high-technology robots out into the solar system to send back, you know, previously unimagined information. Leave it to those jokers to make it sound completely yawn-inducing. Take every ounce of interest out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, completely wring it of all its blood and leave just, you know, the most boring, useless, you know, display in the world.
Just last week, I, you know, was flipping channels, and I go by the NASA channel, and there's a cartoon on. And, you know, the first thing, you know, thing is, okay, NASA's doing a cartoon, you know, thing for kids, and, okay. And then you watch about 5 seconds of it, and you realize it's just like everything else on the NASA channel, completely dry and devoid.
It was made by some NASA guy.
Anything interesting at all. It's terrible.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to, all right, we'll have to pick that up.
Right, we'll come back 6 minutes after the hour. You can watch us on cam, but this is usually our bathroom break, but we'll be right back.
There's not like a cam for that or anything.
No, there isn't. We're right here at 1170 with Evil Avatar Radio.
Hey, Slayer here at Xbox Live's Major Nelson, and you are listening to Evil Avatar Radio.
Thank you very much, Major Nelson. Welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV.
We need some more of those.
We do. I you know what? Normally, I wait till the after show before we talk about the show itself, but... this is episode 91. We've got a few more episodes to go, and we're about to hit episode number big 100.
Yeah.
So I want to send out some emails to some past guests that we've had on the show, Ellen McLean, one of them, to give some, hey, happy 100th Evil Avatar Radio.
Cool.
That, of course, we can only play for that one episode.
No. No, we can, like, play it forever.
Yeah.
We can just do a bad dub job of, like...
Happy 100th and one.
Yeah.
It's good that for another like it's good for another 100 episodes. Happy 199, you know?
Yeah.
We could replace Leroy with that.
That's true. That's
we
true.
Really do need to replace Leroy.
Is it about time for that?
It's actually several years past.
Well, you know, we're coming up on a year of us doing... having Leroy in the show, so
okay,
we'll
okay.
retire him then.
Sure.
Dude, I'm all for retiring the opening because I can't find anything anymore. It's getting tougher and tougher to find things to run at the opening of the show. So,
we'll come up with something different.
Change is good. Anyway, welcome to the second hour. That was a wonderful 6 minutes you got to watch, wasn't it? Buddy was here. telling
you were here. You were on the phone.
I was. Our buddy Bullet Food, who's in the chat room, who's over in Korea. Called in and loves the cam. You know, he used to be here. He used to sit here in the studio. So it's great to see his friends. See his friends talking again. Let's do a chat room
it's
roll
great
call.
For him to see us.
Yeah. Enjoy Korea.
It's great for him to see James mostly.
Whatever.
And there's no backstory for that. There is, but
it just takes too long. It's like 9 years of backstory.
Now I've lost my train of thought. We're going to do a chat
room roll call.
That's exactly what we were going to do. The Roadhead is in the chat room. Rogue Hunter is in there as well. Has a fixation on my mother for some reason. Might Be is also in there. No, my mother's not single. I don't think you want to date her anyway.
How long are you going to let that go on?
I don't know yet. I don't know.
All right.
Should I reveal it now?
It depends on how much you want them to hate themselves.
All right. I wish I had some violin music, but I don't. for Rogue and Might Be and anybody else curious, my mother's dead. She died when I was 18. So, yeah, you know, I want her to bring me cookies, too, but it just ain't going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, now that post seems a lot more tragic, doesn't it? It's funny like an hour ago.
So, there you go. They'll get that 6 seconds later. We're going to continue on.
Why,
God!
What? It's not 6 seconds.
Might be. Just...
Oh, now he's going to regret that.
I don't know that he will. He might be that big of a... I can't say that.
anyway, yeah, there you go. Just to lay down the truth on that one. So, not that we don't make, you know, not that we don't do the same thing from time to time.
There it comes. I think it's getting there now.
What'd they say? What'd they say?
You know,
I can't repeat it. You have to come over here.
That good, huh?
All right.
And the 1 week, you don't, there's a couple of weeks, you don't have a laptop. You can't see what's going on in the chat room. Yeah, totally not lying. That's the case. Now, you can go with the father jokes, but he's dead too. So, you know, whatever you want. It's always good whenever they break out the yo mama jokes and yeah. Don't know. Because then it's ours. Yeah, go. Fishbank's in the chat room. Actually, he's right here in the studio. Mike O'Hara's in there as well. Mortis has joined us. Track Zero's in there, coming all the way from Canada. Blackwing as well. B.A. Penguin in the chat room. He wants to give away arcade code. We are more than happy to do that. I don't know how he wants to give it away. Zilla Dana had to leave us. Work emergency she had to go to, so nobody's really here to answer the phones except for us, so you may just want to do a chat room giveaway. Nick, if you want to do that, that's fine. If you've got some way you want to do that, that you want to...
I think we should involve our new friend, the webcam.
I shouldn't say that now, because then it won't work, but if anybody's paying attention to the webcam, they need to watch the webcam closely. I kind of want to try something cool, but let me get through the roll call here. We've had so many distractions. Let's see. I'm in there as well. H2O Ninja, Tripred is in the chat room. Matt Wackorb is in there. Agent Fox, Spooky Thoughts. Yeah, that was odd the way that was coming up. Oh, God. I don't. Dennis? Come over here. Pronounce that name.
Oh, boy. Expungnar.
All right. Expungnar. I'm not sure, but Expungnar. Social Disease just popped in there. Another Burnout fan like myself. Bullet Food is in the chat room. And we've also got the Evil Narwhal. Whale.
Yeah. Wall.
Wall. Anyway. He's in the chat room, too. So there we go. Anyway, wanted to give away the code. Nick, if you want to, well, you can't really call in and have us talk about it. But the way I would, here's what I want to do. I want to play a game of Simon Says. Not really Simon Says, but I want us to each raise our hand in a different order. Like, I don't know, 6 times maybe? Or there's 4 of us. Let's do it 8 times. And then if somebody in the chat room can name back what order we did whatever when we do it later on, they could win the code. But I'm not sure that that's going to work. So I don't know. That sounds a little bit too complicated. So, Nick, why don't you just give it away? How would you involve the webcam?
I don't know. I just brought up that we should use the webcam. That's your problem.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. It's hard to think when you're on the air. I have no idea how we could involve the webcam in doing this. So. Maybe we'll just have to figure it out later and have Nick give it away in the chat room if he wants to. Thank you, Might Be, for this is the first time he's listened to the new Evil Avatar Radio, and
oh, really?
It's decent.
Oh, thank you. We strive for decent.
After those things you said about my mom, I don't really care. I don't care what you say anymore. Back to the news here. We were talking about the NASA MMO. Did we finish that conversation?
Man, hold on. I'm a fan of Might Be's. There's probably like 3 people listening that'll understand this, but when you were talking about raising hands and everything, in my head, I'm like, man, is this just going to be like the Ogre Law Daily? Right? You don't know what that is.
Mm-mm.
So I tab back over from picking Netherbloom, and I look into the chat room, and he says, man, is this like the Ogre Law Daily? This is totally a WoW thing, so I'm just saying.
Hold up a random object. Someone needs to identify what it is, but only show part of it. You know, we did the beer earlier.
That didn't work.
That was a random object.
Hey, how about that thing?
Yeah. I was looking at the same thing. That thing over there.
Oh, come on. Which thing do you think would be more fun to hold up in front of a... Yes, that's the thing. It's even timely to some extent. You know?
All right, so is this what we're going to
Can you make it cry?
Can you make it cry?
It makes me cry if
I make
it sing.
No, we don't want to make it sing. We just want to hold it up and let them decide what it is. It can be picked up right there on your desk, so... Man, he's on a roll.
Yeah,
all right, so here's the contest. Go ahead. They can see what this is. They already know what we're doing, so it's going to be what Strax is holding over here. If you can recognize... Oh, my God. I can't tell what that is by looking at the cam. I know what it is, but I can't... We may have to get a closer shot of that.
All right.
Ooh, oh, Lord.
Great.
There we go. That's a little bit better. Still a little tough, but I think that's a little bit better.
Never mind.
Oh, whoa, we got it. And it was... Oh, God. Has to be the guy who talks about mom. Anyway, there you go. Nick, it was might be that won that one. So, no, we don't have one. We should explain. That's not ours. You said some random object in the studio. This really isn't our studio. One night a week, this belongs to us. For 2 hours, once a week, the studio belongs to us. That's not ours. So why do we have one? For humor, just as what we did. So that's. But it's not ours. In case it makes you feel better, we got a Star Wars coffee mug over there.
Right. That was the other thing,
yeah,
by the way.
If any, you know, if you want to...
Yeah, this is... we're in Montgomery, Alabama. This is an AM talk station. So, you know, there are occasionally, from time to time, political views expressed on the airwaves here.
Yeah.
And they're of a particular type that would require, you know, a goofy Hillary Clinton doll in the studio. I'm just saying.
Well, anyway, Might Be now has either Tron, if he wants it, or Sensible World of Soccer, I think it was. That he gets to play, and I think he wants to give it to Tripred. So you guys do with that as you wish. Bap, whoever gets it, there you go. So congratulations on winning that with the webcam. That's a cool idea, though. We should start bringing in objects. Be like, guess
show
what this
tell.
Is? Yeah, it's show and tell. That's exactly what it is. Back into the news. Let's see. Anybody see the Bionic Commando remake?
Not a little bit and pieces.
Yeah, coming out for Xbox Live Arcade. Looks really cool. Got co-op in there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Music's
the same. This is like the brand new thing that I was hearing about.
It ties into it, but they're going to release for Xbox Live Arcade. They're redoing the original Bionic Commando.
Nice. That was a good game. Still a good game.
The update looks great. There's a video of it. It, you know, you've got two-player cooperative. There's new moves you can do. It looks fantastic.
Cool.
Can't wait for that to hit. Whenever it does, I'm guessing right around the same time the updated game or the new game is released. Let's see, what else we have? We're getting some short films from Sundance coming to the video marketplace. Hoorah, good job.
Whatever.
Exactly. Eidos announced a Highlander game. Big sigh.
Yeah. You know, look, seriously, cutting heads off is obviously a recipe for success in any video game. Yes. So I'm not even kidding you. Yeah. Like, that's absolutely sure.
What was the last game you got to cut heads off?
I'm thinking Jedi Knight.
Really?
You could. I don't know if it was the last. I'm trying to remember the last one where I cut somebody
off. I'm not surprised, but...
Could make heads explode in just about any Resident Evil game.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that's not cutting them off.
No, it's not.
That's a totally different thing. Like, decapitation, like, from a blade... It's totally different than just making the head go away because of, you know, massive firepower.
Prince of Persia, Warrior Within. second Prince of Persia game.
Right.
He had this move where he had two swords in his hand, and
he would do the thing.
Yeah, and just slice it right off.
It was, you know, I liked it in Jedi Knight because you could do a little console code and turn on saber realistic combat.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that?
Yeah.
And which they screwed up in Academy, and I remember that being one of the reasons that I did not like Academy very much. Yeah, you can turn on saber realistic combat. So basically, like if you're holding your saber in one hand and you like force pull somebody, you know, you would basically pull them into your saber and they would just disintegrate because it was, you know, absolutely, you know, as deadly as a lightsaber should be.
Right.
Man, I cut lots of people up in that game. Man, I cut up a lot of stormtroopers.
Yeah, God of War and God of War 2 did that as well. Allowed you to do some decapitation. So, yeah, there's plenty. I'm sure there was some decapitation fatalities in one or more of the Mortal Kombats, if not all.
See, I didn't play those either.
Yeah.
It may have been Jedi Knight last time I cut a person's head off. Oh, maybe Lego Star Wars? I think you could do that somewhere in Lego Star Wars.
Yeah. Or just shoot them and they fall apart.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I'm just saying, it's hard to go wrong, at least for that part of the game.
Yeah.
I just also don't know that how many times can there be only one? Seriously.
good point. I'll try and get some more information on that from the Eidos folks. See if I can find out some more about that. I was talking to them about Tomb Raider as well, so hopefully we can get hooked up with some interviews from that and some swag as well to give away when it gets closer to release on that.
Yeah,
you probably got some questions, I would think.
Yeah.
Especially about Legend.
Yeah.
And going into Underworld. What else did we get? Another game that you pointed out in the news thread where I posted this.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Thank you. Leisure Suit Larry. There it is. I don't want to say it again. You were talking about that.
Yeah.
Let me go down here to where you actually mentioned it. You think it's a terrible idea to bring that back? You really want Space Quest.
I think that would be a great thing to bring back. I think Leisure Suit Larry is a terrible thing to bring back because, man, that was kind of period humor. I mean, who of people, you know, in their 20s, mid-20s, or, you know, around the age that would like a, you know, a risque comedy game. You know, Leisure Suits haven't been part of the public consciousness in a while. The character isn't relevant anymore. And the franchise is based on the character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the humor is kind of timeless, but, you know, then make something new in that vein. Don't try and bring back Larry, man. He's done.
Even in the game before it, the one that came out on the original Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't involve Larry anymore. It involved some, like, one of his offspring or something.
Well, it was like his nephew or something.
Yeah, something like that, going through college or something. Yeah, it didn't even have
still, it's called Leisure Suit Larry. It doesn't... I'm sorry, it's just irrelevant. But Space Quest, man, how many sci-fi shows and movies are there to parody, you know, between, like, the last, you know, 10 years ago when the last Space Quest game came out and now?
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of stuff you could do in a new Space Quest game. And adventure games are obviously, you know, trying to make a comeback. Not many people want to give them a chance, but the little ones that are coming out are doing really decent numbers. So if somebody wants to try and bring back an adventure game, man, bring back Space Quest. There's tons and tons and tons of material out there for another Space Quest game.
Good. Sorry, I was looking up the MPD numbers. Which was what I wanted to talk about next, because apparently December was a big month for games. I'm trying to look them up real quick and find out the actual totals and stuff like that. But all right, here we go. Nope, that's not what I wanted either. Anyway, numbers were huge. Industry did very well. As far as 2007 was concerned, like over $1 billion,
yeah.
I think, in sales. I could be way off on that, but I believe that's what it was. But, yeah, it did great, you know. Obviously, video games becoming more mainstream than they ever have before, and they will just continue to grow, for better or for worse, in some cases, with the, you know, what we'll have to put up with it becoming mainstream.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have more news stories about violence in video games. We're going to have more people protesting about what's going on in the video game world. It's just going to get I think the bigger your industry becomes in that regard, the bigger the criticisms are going to come, and the more they're going to come as well. The more prevalent your industry is to society, the more feedback you're going to get on it, good or bad, I think. So I like to see that it's becoming bigger and bigger as it goes on. That's one of the things that I wanted to see happen and that I continue to want to see happen. I want this thing to become more of a mainstream type of thing and not an underground. I don't want it, you know, we talked about this before. We don't want it looked at as a stereotype of what it's been looked at by the outside group who aren't, you know, involved in this sort of thing. Yeah, you can blame G4 on that a little bit. A lot.
You can blame them a lot for it. You can also blame them for other things. I don't care.
You can.
Whatever you want to. Huh?
Anything. That's what they get for airing Cheaters and Cops.
Agreed.
That's what happens. You get blamed for stuff.
9/11?
Why not?
Yeah.
Jeez. Before 9/11, it was great network. Well, it was.
That's a good point. Very interesting.
I suppose that the way I said that really sort of makes me blame 9/11 for the downfall of G4, but I refuse to let them out of that. Whatever. I don't care. You know, here's the problem. We all knew how great everything was when we were playing games before it was what... I mean, before things were what they are today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, things are huge now. It's still not mainstream and, you know, enough to be considered... I don't know. It hasn't changed completely. It's just got a lot more light on it right now. And I remember that we all sort of thought to some extent that moving in this direction would be good for it. At the time, I don't remember really thinking about the industry. I don't remember looking at it that way. I was a little... We took a very simple view of things. The types of games we'd like to see, the things we thought would be possible. And we all thought that development would occur at certain rates and in certain directions in the future. And I find that when I look back at what I expected things to be, I'm very disappointed with what they are. I don't think things have changed enough. And I'm not talking about perceptions of the industry. I'm not talking about the amount of money it generates. I'm simply talking about the games themselves. I think they look phenomenal. But I think that underneath the skin, a lot of them just aren't as good. I think a few of them are magnificent, like phenomenally better, just light years beyond anything that we could have thought about at the time. But for the most part, I don't think they're as good. But I think that's because a lot of the consumers now, a lot of the people that spend money on this industry weren't necessarily around back then. They don't maybe have a point of comparison, you know? So it doesn't matter that there's been no change. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'd have a hard time really itemizing, you know.
With so many new gamers, particularly in this generation, you've got a bunch of casual gamers, which everybody started off as a casual gamer at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's going to take a few years for all those, you know, brand new casual gamers to become, you know, core gamers, I guess you would say. But And maybe, you know, when that happens... Well, they'll probably just be more casual gamers than they are now.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
So,
and I don't know how wrong that is. And maybe it's just, you know, it's probably just me, but I don't really feel like, I don't know, are we ever really going to see massive changes, either technologically or philosophically, in how these things are done? Or are we just going to keep adding new people to it and feeding them the same crap? I don't know. Whatever. Maybe that's what the Wii is for.
Good point.
I don't really care. I'm just saying, the industry's huge now. It's huge, and it feels huge, but it doesn't feel any better. It's got 1,000 times more money in it, but it doesn't honestly feel like that money's being spent to make things any better. Things aren't coming out faster. Games aren't getting, in my opinion, better.
That's kind of everything, though, isn't it? We were supposed to have our flying cars by now.
Flying cars.
Lots of things were supposed to be better.
Yeah.
And they're not. They're kind of the same as they were when, you know, we were kids.
Yeah.
So.
But we still got a few more years before Back to the Future 2 is here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, where's my
with what they represented.
Right. Where's my jetpack? I think as kids, you know, a lot of stuff was promised.
Where's my hoverboard?
Yeah.
I would just be happy with those Nikes.
That certain things were going to happen.
I don't even need a hoverboard if I could just have, you know, automatic Nikes.
Certain things were going to happen by this century, and, you know, it was going to be fantastic, and, you know, it's actually been kind of a disappointment.
Yeah, it really has.
You know what I want? A flying DeLorean.
Right.
That's exactly what I want.
Everybody wants the flying car, man. That was the big one. Every movie, you know, set in the future after 2000 had flying cars in it.
Pork Fry asks you to qualify better.
Yeah, see, I knew somebody would. I recognize every time I say something like that I'm going to have to qualify. And I honestly wish I could. This is more the kind of thing that I can only get across sitting down on a one-to-one. And it's extraordinarily hard. I've tried on dozens of shows to actually get my point across in this regard. And I have failed utterly in every way. The best thing I can do is to sort of wrap it in a complaint. That, and again, like I said, I've come completely to terms with what Mass Effect is. But in my mind, in terms of the representation of the physical world, I was okay with Knights of the Old Republic being, you know, feeling like it was taking place in a shoebox. And I've said that before. Extremely small world. It's supposed to be delivering to me the concept of the scope of an enormous galaxy. And it doesn't. So fine. And then Mass Effect comes along and essentially doesn't do anything any different. To my mind, it's exactly the same game. And maybe that's okay, maybe it's not. Again, I don't know. It's the same type of difference that I think we all felt going from Deus Ex to Invisible War. You know, that sort of thing. I think that very little is being spent to... Very little attention is being spent on taking games in the direction that we once thought they should go in. That's really all I'm saying, but it would be really, really hard for me to sit down and cite resources, and I would completely fail if I tried to do it right now. Maybe I should, like, try to do that on my own time at some point and totally enumerate all of what I consider to be the failures. Because it's, you know, it's hard enough to describe better in a forum where I can sit down there and think about what I'm typing and actually look at a resource. I certainly can't do it on the air very accurately.
Right off the top of his head.
No, I honestly can't, no. So...
I can give you some editorial space.
But at the same time, I have a hard time believing that I'm the only person that feels that way. I mean, how necessary is it that I qualify that? Am I totally alone in feeling like that? If I am, okay, then fine. I need to go do some homework. If I'm not, then I suppose that, you know, it's thick enough in the cultural zeitgeist that we can all agree to some extent that things haven't, you know, that they may not be what they should be.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That is a bigger discussion. Sounds a lot like an after-show discussion to me.
Yeah,
or an editorial or something like that. So fine, I'll do some homework and I'll see if I can come up with a better way of explaining it. But right here, right now, off the cuff, on the air.
Can't do it.
I can't do it effectively. I'll just sound like a moron. You know? Which, you know, will pretty much be disguised by all the other times I sound like a moron. But, you know, I'll feel it a little stronger.
I'm
going to look for some Netherbloom.
I got the numbers here. What happened was it's the U.S. hardware and software sales data for the month of December, bringing the year's total sales to $18 billion. I was off by billion.
I was going to tell you that you were, because but I knew you were looking for the right numbers, because I remember us talking about there was some really ambiguous thing. I mean, this is years back when you and I were working together in software, et cetera, about in terms of just raw sales of stuff. That, like, 8-9 years ago, or whatever it was, that the games industry had generated more income than the film industry.
Yeah.
And they were already in the many, many billions, like 5-6 billion mm-hmm. a year at that point. So I figured you'd get the right piece of information.
Well, yeah, I found it out what I was looking for. In 2007, 8.5 million DS units were sold. That's a ton. More, well, let's see, PSP only sold 3.82 million handhelds of the PSP. Nintendo sold 6.29 million Wii consoles, Microsoft 4.62 million, and Sony sold 2.56 million PS3 consoles during the year of 2007. You know, Sony also, the PS2 did well in 2007, still doing well. 3.97 million consoles sold in 2007. Life-to-date sales for the PS2, 41.12 million. That's a ton, and that's awesome. The top 10 best-selling games in the U.S. for 2007, number one was Halo 3 with 4.82 million. Number two was Wii Play, which I think the biggest reason that was there is because those things sold so much with that free, that extra remote.
Yeah, free remote.
Yeah, that came with it. Because when that was released, you couldn't find Wiimotes on the shelf. Yeah. They were gone.
The entire reason I pre-ordered one was about the only way I had to get a hold of another controller.
4.12 million of those were sold. Number three, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, specifically on the 360. 3.4 million sold there. Guitar Hero 3 on the PS2, 2.72 million there. Super Mario Galaxy comes in at number 5 with 2.5 million sold. Pokemon Diamond on the DS, almost 2.5 million sold there. Madden 08 on the PS2. Not on the 360 or the PS3 or anything like that. On the PS2, it sold 1.9 million units. Guitar Hero 2, 1.89 million. Assassin's Creed on the 360 comes in at number 9 at just under 2 million. And Mario Party 8 for the Wii at number 10. With 1.82 million. So those were your numbers. Yeah, it's really huge. So yeah, there you go. Let's see, what else we have in the news here that happened this week? We got new tables for pinball effects. I don't know if any of you guys have that.
No.
No. I'm the only pinball fan in this room anyway.
Yeah.
Love pinball. And they released
pinball, but, you know, I don't love it.
For me, it's on par with how much I love Burnout.
Yeah.
It's
pretty high up there.
It really is because, well, obviously pinball came first for me before, you know, before Burnout. So, I mean, I really love pinball. I had a pinball machine in my house, God, I think from the age of like 8 to 14 or something like that. We had an old pinball machine. I can't even remember the name of it. It was Viking themed, whatever it was. But yeah, it was an old table. But yeah, I love me some pinball. And they keep putting out tables for pinball effects, which is an Xbox Live arcade game. The first one they put out was pirate-themed, and it was free. Well, yeah, I'll take that. This next one they put out was a like a Haunted Mansion type thing. 180 Microsoft points? 200 Microsoft points? I can't remember what it was, but I bought it anyway. It's a lot of fun. If they keep releasing tables, I'll continue to buy them. That's great. I love it. What I would love to see is that they release some licensed tables from way back when. The Indiana Jones table, I'll take that. Played a lot of that back at the movie theater. That was a ton of fun. Moving on into the news. Again, anything else you guys wanted to bring up while I keep going?
I had a thought, but it's hardly relevant anymore. It was back on the Space Quest thing.
Oh, okay. They were talking about, get a laptop. They were talking about it in the chat room.
I was just thinking, man, you know what Space Quest 6, the last one they released, parodied? The most current thing it had? Deep Space Nine.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because they were talking about, what were they talking about in the chat room? Spinal something. I don't remember what it was called. The subtitle.
The Spinal Frontier. That was the subtitle of Space Quest 6, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you know, you could do Farscape and Stargate and Firefly and
Babylon 5.
Yeah.
Everything.
There's so much you could do with a Space Quest game now. So much to parody. You've got enough material for another, you know, 3, 4, 5 games.
You really do.
But,
all right, cool.
Get Vivendi on that. They own it all now.
Exactly. I don't think you're going to have that happen.
not for, you know, a few more years.
Going back to numbers again, Rock Band has 2.5 million downloads that have done so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. 200 songs are in the pipeline as well. Apparently, Rock Band and Guitar Hero, the total number of downloads there topped the amount of downloads on like iTunes and stuff like that over a certain amount of time, over a time period. In the amount of time that Rock Band and Guitar Hero 3 have been out and had downloadable songs, ever how many months that is, they had more downloads, more purchases than iTunes did when it first did in that amount of time period. And a couple of other downloadable song places or whatever. Totally did that. And in relation to that, when EA sees that, well, people are buying songs, they started thinking, I wonder if we can do this in our other games. There was a story posted on Evil Avatar about Madden. They release Madden, and then they release other songs that you can buy for Madden.
That's stupid.
I agree.
Because you know what? I can already play other songs in Madden. That's what the entire, like, rip a, you know, album to your 360 thing is for.
That's what.
No, you can't, because you know what? You're not turning it into a level. That's the reason I'm buying Rock Band songs. They're new levels for my game.
I guess so. I just want to, yeah.
There is a model for selling other content for your games. It's called build new levels and sell them. It's not the songs, man. It's new levels.
I like it so much. I like it when you get angry. Because you rarely do. Often. Exactly.
It's just so stupid.
There he goes. Keep
Why
going.
Would they think they could sell me music to play in other games?
Guess what LTA wants to do? They want to release a Battlefield game completely free but have advertisements all over it. And to charge you for upgrades. Like, charge you for weapon upgrades, clothing, things like that. Different things that you can purchase in the game.
Well, they're welcome to try. But
yeah.
I mean, I'm all for, like, playing. I'm all for, like, somebody trying out the, you know, free game and support it with advertising model, but man, I'm not playing a game where you can buy better equipment in the game. If that's how you want to support your game, you get into revenue, you know, generation conflicting with gameplay balance, and that doesn't seem like a very good mix to
me. I think in the midterm, that's going to be an enormous problem.
Yeah,
an enormous problem. Fed by, like, a lot of different individual failures at other levels, but I think people are going to see that it works. Because a lot of what... I mean, it's content, man. Whatever that content happens to be, whether it's an armor or weapon upgrade in an MMO, whether it's some sort of minor graphical thing, we all point to the horse armor and we claim that we were all so smart, you know. Ah, you tried to sell us some useless junk in a video game for extra real money and we didn't buy it. But it's not that we fundamentally understood that what they were doing was screwed up, or it's not that everyone did. It's that they just didn't meet the right price point versus value. It's not the concept that's screwed up. The concept's going to work. It's that they just didn't understand where it was at. So we've got this thing that we can mock, you know, this one individual moment of that kind of marketing and that kind of manipulation of revenue generation in their own game, but it's going to work.
Now, horse armor, that, like, threw it in a different light for me, because when he said a Battlefield game, I'm thinking, you know, a multiplayer game.
Uh-huh.
If you're selling people better weapons in a multiplayer game, I think that's fundamentally screwed up. Your game is broken.
Well,
I don't know the full details, but yeah.
You can argue, there are very, very decent arguments against that. It would take a while to explain now.
But just to finish my thought, it's a single-player game and you're selling additional, you know, content or weapons or whatever, yeah, okay, that's
the problem.
I'm
is
fine
the,
with that.
The thing that's going to be a problem is, the thing that's going to make it so bad is that it's not going to be extra additional content.
It's going to be a huge
chunk of the content that should have been there in the first place.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be. They're going to sell you the superstructure of a video game. And... yeah, that's probably taking a bit too far, but I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, that thought is there. I think someone's going to try it, and I think that it's, to some extent, going to work just enough. It would have to fail utterly to prevent anyone from trying it. And if it succeeds at any level, I think other people are. I think it's, if we ever move into the next generation of MMOs, not that I think you can even define them by generations anymore, that's going to be a big issue. Again, I think. I don't know. It's kind of bad. They, you know, nominally stand up against it in Warcraft, which is really, really good, because I think they're smart enough to know that what keeps people playing your game is the carrot on a stick. You know? They earn money by people paying them $15 a month. I pay $15 a month because I really like the gameplay. I like playing it with my friends, and I like experiencing group content. But I also really like loot, man. I like gear. I like that nice epic weapon on my back. I like those things. And if I play it a little bit longer, I can probably get some other cool-looking stuff that can, like, make me the kind of character that'll be capable of seeing other content, you know? Maybe I'm just trying to cast it in a really friendly light so I don't feel so bad. But basically, that's what it's about. I can see this stuff, which I really like seeing. If I get better gear, I can see the harder stuff, which I will also like seeing. You know, fine. That works for me. That makes them money. If all of a sudden I could shell out a lot of money and get the individual items I want, maybe that doesn't work out so well. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that doesn't necessarily give them as much money in the long run as the $15 a month does. Because if I get frustrated not being able to see the content, maybe I roll an alt. Maybe I blame my class. Go to the forums, QQ a bit, roll an alt. Keep paying $15 a month. In the long run, I think that's better. And I think you are right that it would, in a multiplayer environment, drastically affect game balance issues. Like I said, there are some very precarious arguments to be made against that. It would have everything to do with, you know, it would become like a huge theory crafting argument about MMO balance, and that's just, nobody cares. But on the whole, maybe even more so in single player games, because at least the MMOs always have the subscription base to fall back on. I mean, they're already making money. They're looking to act like nickel and dime you in other ways. And Warcraft already does it. $10 for a name change, $25 for a server transfer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's already there. I've already paid actually quite a lot of money for server transfers. I've bounced some of my characters to like four separate servers since I've been in the game. And again, that's fine for me. But, you know, once a single-player game is on the shelf, it's on the shelf. But we're also kind of getting used to the idea of extra content for these things. The idea of,
you know,
holding back material from single-player games upsets
me
more.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you're holding things back from a single-player game, and there's no way as a consumer we can tell whether a publisher is holding things back that should have been in the initial release or whether they're actually developing additional content for
the game.
In
Katamari we can, because that was outright, I believe, told. Is that you're unlocking content on the disc when you buy this.
Yeah.
It was what they said, which I haven't bought any of that stuff yet. But yeah, I think...
But, you know, if you want to keep supporting your game for several years by, you know, creating and releasing new content for it,
right.
And if people want to buy it, I think that's fine. I have no problem with that.
Crackdown felt like something that we were given. Like, you know, this is not on the disc. We're creating the stuff that you need the disc to play with, but... It's not on that disc, it's brand new content, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. But the waters do get more murky when you're talking about something like Katamari where it was already on the disc.
Right,
that's not murky,
it's
just downright, you know, disgusting. But it does get more murky when you start talking about something like, say, BioShock, where they finished developing plasmids or something for the game that they had originally planned on putting in. I mean, I understand any time a game comes out, content's going to get cut because there's not enough time. But then you get into an environment where it's like, well, just go ahead and cut it, and we can release it later and sell it to them as additional content.
Yeah.
And then it starts getting really, you know, kind of nasty smelling.
Ever since the whole Katamari thing, and in relation to the way that you describe the issue with BioShock, I think back to Soul Reaver.
Yeah.
You remember how much unfinished content we were able to actually find on that disc way back then. And I, you know, I'm telling you, if there was an avenue, if there was a method for me to have paid an extra $15 to have seen everything else that was on that disc, I tell you I would have.
Mm-hmm.
I would have done it.
Because, I mean, the realities of publishing a game, you know, just Soul Reaver could not have been delayed any longer. It was already delayed far too long.
Right.
And they had to bring it out, and a lot of his stuff got cut, which is why it ended the way it did and why there, you know, there's a Fire Reaver in the game that you never get.
Yeah.
But it's on the disc.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff in there that never made it in. So, you know.
Well, we got to take a quick break.
Of course.
We do. We've only got one for the hour, and normally we would have already taken it by now. But
all right.
It was a good discussion.
We'll dive in the last 10 minutes, and it'll be great.
Yeah, we'll be right back with more here at 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. Welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. What are you laughing at over there?
I can't say.
You can't say?
No, I can't. I can tell you later. I can't say now.
How come? Yeah, we're going to go into it. How come?
Because I don't want to offend somebody that might hear, you know, about their name being mentioned.
Oh, okay.
In like me making fun of you kind of way.
Does it have to?
Comparing you to them.
Oh, man. Now I want to know.
Somebody? Huh?
Were you making fun of somebody?
Without including
in my
you?
Head, and I almost said it, but then the mics like could have gone on any second. I was like, I better not say that. I don't want that to go out over the air. It might get back.
Okay, I got you.
All right. Well, we'll just talk about it in the after show. Which, by the way, we've got that coming up here pretty soon. Should we leave the cam running for the after show? Should we turn on the cam? They can't hear us.
We should fix that.
But we should. You're not going to be able to hear us. Will someone's getting voted off the show? That was not Uncharted. Ha! They said, who said that was?
That sounded an awful lot like Uncharted.
That was not Uncharted. That was Need for Speed Carbon.
Really?
Really, exactly. Surprising, isn't
it? That's crap. That belongs in Uncharted.
If it's not Uncharted, it's crap.
if I ever get some time, I'm going to record some, you know, music for you.
Go for it.
You know, I want to get, like, at least one Mario Galaxy song in there.
Yeah, go for
it. You know.
Totally. But anyway, so, yeah, we'll have the cam running for the after show. In fact, Pork Fry is in the chat room right now. He's going to be joining us. I said we'd have a special guest, and it'll be Pork Fry. He'll be calling into the after show there, and we'll be talking to him. We're not going to interview the guy. We're going to have him on basically as another co-host.
In the post show.
No, we don't.
We just talk, man.
We just swear a lot.
Yeah.
Do. Can I drink beer on the post show?
I don't know. We'll talk about it after the FCC moderated show. That's exactly what we'll do. We'll talk about that. But anyway, so we got about 4 minutes left in this show. Any last thoughts? Anything we want to hit on? What are you playing this weekend, Jeremy?
Mass Effect.
That's pretty much it, huh?
Yeah.
No Burnout Paradise.
No.
All right.
No. Unless like there's a cops and robbers mode added at the last minute or something.
I don't know. No, it won't be.
Well, then no.
Okay. Plan on picking up any games this week? Anything in that list? Undertow, obviously.
Undertow. There's a couple I'm curious about, but not enough to buy. I'd like want to rent them first or demo them. So, no.
All right, Dennis, you?
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah?
I wouldn't be playing through that.
Any better Crackdown? Have you played Crackdown Co-op yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, man. We got to fix that.
Yeah, we got to remedy that situation.
You're not going to remedy it with me, because you know what I'm going to be doing. But yeah, so Assassin's Creed for you. We'd ask Zilladana what she's going to do. Probably Psychonauts, I would guess, when she gets the time to play that.
Yeah, I'm going to go pick up some Ratchet and Clank. Obviously, I'm not getting it as a late Christmas present. So
I got to get something for you guys.
Huh?
I got to get something as a late Christmas present.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I was in Best Buy, and it was running on one of the TVs, and I was, like, very close to picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a money-spending mood, so I went to Best Buy.
Cool.
Like, I don't, you know, whatever.
Well, you know what? You probably could borrow mine, considering you know what I'm going to be playing for the next week. And
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what length of game it is, and it's, you know. You know, I don't want to borrow it. I don't want to buy it.
No, I know how you are. You do want to borrow games. What are you talking about? That's what you do from me. You borrow my games.
Yeah, but I don't do it all the time.
No.
I don't do it all the time.
You bought Uncharted, which, you know, is good. I'm glad you did.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know that I'd feel really bad, particularly if it turned out to be a great game. Mm-hmm. I'd feel really bad about borrowing it from you.
Picking up any games? Are you going to pick up Paradise this week, or is that waiting for some other time?
I might hold off on Paradise. I don't know. I may pick it up. I don't know. I'd like to pick up Ratchet & Clank.
Mm-hmm.
I will be picking up Undertow. Couple other things, maybe. I don't know.
Cool.
You know, buy some stuff. Who knows?
All right. As for me, of course, I'll be picking up Burnout Paradise. That's exactly what I'll be playing.
Systems.
On both systems.
First.
360.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I'll be switching over to the PS3. You know, I posted about this today. Every stretch of road in Paradise City, you can have top scores on. You can have the fastest time on that road, or you can have the largest amount of damage done in the Showtime mode, which is the new Crash mode, I guess you could say. If you have the top of both of those, you essentially own the road. You own that stretch of road. When other people sign on, it specifically looks at your friends list and tells you who is tops on that road right now. And you can choose to, you know, try and beat that time if you want to, or beat the damage amount, that sort of thing. But it specifically looks at the friends list. It doesn't give you an overall, yeah, you're number one in the nation. Because I can tell you right now, when I go to leaderboards for any game, I don't look at overall. I switch over to the friends filter because I want to know, am I, you know, how far I am within my friends rank. So, yeah, it specifically looks at your friends. And I know there's more people on the 360 getting this on my friends list, because my friends list on the 360 far outweighs the number of people I have on the PS3, which I have a PS3. It's the same as my 360. Send me an invite if you want to. Fishbang, however, is different. It's mouse look on the PS3.
I get my teeth about that every time I boot my PS3.
Yeah. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Evil Avatar Radio. I want to thank everybody in the chat room who joined us. Wave bye on the webcam, actually. Anyway, we will see you guys next week for episode number 92 with lots of burnout talk, I'm sure, to be had. But that's it for the show. Good night, everybody. We will see you next week here on Evil Avatar Radio. All right, we're on.
Okay.
You guys talk, and I'm going to try and fix the cam.
What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Well, the fucking lights are on in here, man. How the hell am I supposed to talk if the lights aren't on?
Well,
or if the lights are on.
So you can't turn them off if the cam gets working.
All right, well, if the cam starts working, we'll turn the lights back on. But I like the, you know, it feels like I'm in a bar.
All right, just because it's going to bug me. Yes, I know the Fire Reaver is in Soul Reaver. I just forgot it for a minute because, you know.
Because it's been like a million years?
Yeah, it's been like, what? More than a decade? Better part of a decade?
Yeah, better part
since,
of a decade.
Since I've played Soul Reaver, so yeah. There were other Reavers that weren't in the game, and bosses, and content, and lots of stuff, so.
Yeah, we found some of it. Heard some of it, anyway. The dialogue, at least.
Yeah, it was supposed to stop that game, really.
It was.
It was supposed to be a complete game.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a complete thing, and,
Big too surprise. Ambitious.
Yeah.
But anyway, why isn't the cam working?
I'm getting there.
Was it too ambitious? Is that what it was?
Apparently.
Why? Why didn't they just put it all in there? Because
they... Yeah.
Because it was too ambitious or because they had, you know, people were sick of waiting? I mean, it's not necessarily the same thing. Just because they eventually decided that it was...
Since the realities are that you do have a budget... You know, there's the budget necessary to make these things, and
the investors want to see
and more
return.
Time equals more money. Then, yeah, it was too ambitious for you know the money and the time they had allotted.
Or maybe they just didn't do a good enough job. I don't know, man. I just don't. I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm not being a contrarian, and I'm not being cynical. I'm trying to. What I'm basically saying is, was it serious? Seriously, was it too ambitious? Does that have to be the answer? Could there not have been some problems with how it was managed? You know, above the developer level. Man, I've been working for a while. I know that managers fuck things up. That's what they do.
Yeah.
People who manage things fuck things up, and particularly managers that are at a high enough level to be functionally removed from the actual work or the creative act or any of that sort of stuff. I'm saying they cause problems. I have a hard time believing that, you know, knowing how that game was built as a completely seamless world, you know, the streaming loading and all of that sort of stuff, then I suppose at a certain point you have to recognize the storage limitations of the disc. Okay. Can't have, like, a multiple disc game for a game that worked like that, you know? I mean, I guess you could, but, I don't like those. So, I just, you know, it just doesn't feel right to say that, well, the idea was too big. Because what it sounds like is we should think smaller. You know? I don't like that. I don't like it. It's kind of what I was getting at earlier. People used to talk a lot back then. You know, we used to, like, we were all falling in love with the possibility of what this shit could be. You know, more than just a simple first-person shooter. I've had this thought running through my head for a really long time now about why gaming is so important. And it's not wholly formed yet, but... There has always, you know, in the history of human consciousness, been a mysterious horizon. Like, something that you could go over there and you could get to this thing, and it's totally unknown. Like, it's completely, absolutely, you know, nightmarishly unknown. And even up to, like, you know, a century ago, that was still a very legitimate thing. And to some degree, even up through the middle of the last century, it was, like, a very legitimate thing. There was some things right here on Earth, right around the corner, that were functionally unknown. And while it's not necessarily easy to get to every single corner of the globe itself has actually become, you know, in sort of a more than physical cartographic sense, has become an extraordinarily well-known thing. But, like, this whole cultural ideal of the unknown that human beings have evolved with, at least in terms of, like, our evolution of civilization, it's always been there. Like, it has always been there. But frankly speaking, if you and I, if anyone in this room had a sudden urge to you know, go cross the frontier somewhere, you'd be SOL, because there ain't no goddamn frontier. There are no unknown lands. There are no unknown places. There are the, you know, wilds of Africa. There are deep jungles in the Amazon where people probably haven't set foot. Bottom of the ocean, yada, 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 sure, whatever. But, like, the length and the breadth and the depth and the composition of all these places, at least in terms of the domination of space, you know, of area, is actually very well known. And I think about how, I think about the feeling I get when I get into a new MMO, right? It's, you know, as much as I like, wow, I always think about a new MMOG, because it's like there's something about coming to terms with unknown space. Coming to terms with something that is completely new and learning it as a group of people. There's something extremely exciting about it, even if it's what is essentially a conceit. You know, even if it's something that's been crafted for your amusement, there's still a sensation of discovery and exploration. And sort of hearkening back to what we were talking about before, the space program is about the last place where you're going to find any real discovery in space. And you're really not going to find it on Earth. Not in the way that our ancestors have for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. I mean, it's just something about what we are. I don't even, you can probably find an answer for it in our biology. You can definitely find an answer for it in our sociology about why we need to explore shit. And maybe it's different with different personalities. Every time I've taken that stupid, what kind of MMO character are you? I've always been an explorer, so whatever. I'm just saying that it satisfies a certain need inside me somewhere. But I live at a time when it's almost, you know, you could, there's a lot of learning, but there's very little exploration possible for mankind right now. Space exploration is almost, I mean, it's prohibitively dangerous and expensive. We can't do what we did during the Apollo program again. We can't do it. It's not acceptable. It will not be allowed, that level of risk. The fact that it happened at all is almost a miracle. So the idea that we're going to duplicate that at any level anytime soon is ridiculous. And I'm not saying that gaming makes for a perfect substitute for it, but it's one of the last places where, well, I shouldn't say last places, it's one of the first places where you can simulate a sense of exploration and discovery. Like, because I think we're honestly at that point as a species of having to simulate environments and things that we'll never actually, that we know for certain don't exist here. And no matter how far you want to take the idea of the uncertainty principle, we'll never see in any other place on any other planet, at least not, sure as hell not in our lifetime. I mean, I feel like we're really at a ceiling for what we've always done. Go to the next place, look at the next thing, exploit it, kill the natives. I mean, whatever.
Claim it as ours.
That's what we've always done. It's a thing. Humans are about contested space. That's something that is fundamentally wired into us. And I think that's a lot of what it has to do with the exploration of virtual environments.
Look at how many people play Catan.
It's not even that, man. If you want to get down deep enough into it, you could probably argue that every video game is about contested space.
Risk.
No, you're thinking too literally. I'm talking about in every single aspect. You know, I want that fucking dream foil over there, but that motherfucking bear won't stop padding across it. I gotta kill that bear so I can get that dream foil. That's contested space. Pong was contested space.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something very fundamental to it. I don't know. And this is why, again, personally, why I take so much, I'm so personally offended by the second Deus Ex. Because what did they do? They took space away from me.
Yeah.
It may sound completely retarded, but that's a lot of what it is. And I honestly think one of the fundamental things to any game that that occurs in a world, or in some representation of this world, space should not be diminished. I mean, does that make any sense? Am I getting, like, is that coming across at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does for me. I understand it.
But I mean, that's one of the things that I think we've gone quite backward on. And I think that has everything to do with, you know, trying to get more out of a game for less money. Or more out of a game for the same amount of time. You know what I mean? Like, games that have to look better, but, you know, people really expect, you know... I don't know. What's the, here's this studio. We know they make good things. What are they doing? Well, if you, they go too long without hearing about what they're doing, then, you know, maybe, I don't know, public opinion about them turns bad or people start to ask questions. So fine, we tell them what we're working on. Essentially, that, you know, results in an announcement. And basically, it doesn't matter what the reality is. You hear about a game, you expect to see the game within a few years. You know, there is that expectation. So I suppose, yes, it's possible to be too ambitious in regards to certain aspects of the development process, but I don't know. I mean, I know that there's realities to consider, but I also know that I don't know. Fuck you, man. My game should not be fucking smaller. My game should be motherfucking huge. I should be able to go all over the goddamn place and do more things in more ways with more options than I
what happened
than I had before.
Nothing. I mean, if I were to turn that on, it would. This is what it would sound like.
Jesus.
Yeah. I was waiting for him to finish his...
No, that's not... this is the goddamn after show, man. Fucking dial the number. Jesus. Sorry, Pork. Scott's a fucking idiot.
I was like, Pork's missing, like, all the stuff we're talking about.
No, right? I'm glad he wasn't here. He just told me that I'm wrong.
Hope nobody can read numbers. I think that works. It may not.
This is Greg.
Hey, Greg. It's Scott and everybody else from Evil Avatar Radio.
Excellent.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, sorry we didn't call you earlier. I sat here for like 15 minutes and like ranted on about something because I thought Scott couldn't get you. You know, and Scott's sitting over there waiting.
Scott's waiting for James to shut up.
Well, it's like, Jesus Christ, you know me. I don't ever shut up.
All right, fair enough.
So, sorry for calling you late.
I did not think you guys were... We're just screwing around with the webcam, trying to get it to work.
Well, we're trying to do that too, and I'm trying to get it back, so I'm going to be working on that as well. So, hey, how'd you like the webcam?
I thought it was cool. It was kind of neat seeing the delay.
Is that right?
And then, like, everybody starts waving to the cam and getting up, and I can still hear the talking.
Cool. Yeah, unintended comedy.
Figure out how to get it to zoom it in a little bit, but you know. The internet's hard for me, I guess.
Well, we were trying to get it to show like everybody in the room, and right now we're on the length of the cable that came with it. We're going to get an extension cable for it, maybe even pick up a better cam if it really works that well. So,
it looked really good.
Yeah, we'll have improvements. I was going to say we want to try and get one that refreshes even faster, but given the sense that it's already on an awkward, you know, delay type of thing, where you can see what we're doing while we're saying it, but you don't hear what we're saying until 30 seconds later.
Right, so, and then you have a 7-second delay on top of that.
Yeah, you look at me pointing at one of the guys in the studio, you have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. Until 30 seconds later, it's like, this
is... sitting closest to the cam?
That would be James.
That was me, yeah.
Yeah,
I think it was during the break, you were just going nuts with your hands, and it's like,
right. I know, and you couldn't hear it.
Yeah, that's usually the case.
Yeah, so it's good times. So how's wherever you guys are at? Is it good?
It was cold for a while. You're getting some cold stuff up there too, right?
Yeah, it says that it's 40 degrees, but I think that it's colder than that.
It's like supposed to be 19 up there, which is what it was this past weekend for us.
Yeah, it actually snowed here on a couple days ago, which was the first time in nearly a decade that we'd seen any snow.
It was like 6 years. It was 6 years. Yeah, I remember because we were talking. It was exactly this time of year 6 years ago because we were loading on the Tempest after A Christmas Carol at ASF.
Really?
I remember that very clearly because we were like, fuck work! Snowballs!
Because it was, we were out playing games that night when it started snowing.
I don't remember that.
It was like 3 o'clock. It was on January 3rd. I want to say, like, God, I think it was 2001, about. But it was like 3 a.m. in the morning. We were outside talking.
It had to be.
Which is a rarity.
It had to be 2000. No, fuck you. You're right. It was 2001.
Okay, so yeah. 7 years.
If you check the internet, I bet they tell you. I don't know. I mean, like, you know, like almanacs and stuff. They're like, yeah, and this year.
Oh, yeah. You know, we don't care that much.
No, we don't care. No, it's more fun to plumb the depths of our shady ass
minds. I was there. It was awesome. I was right there with you. So who's all in the room right now? Because I can't see you guys.
Yeah,
right.
All the same guys. Scott's here. Me, Fishbang James.
Jeremy.
And then...
Dennis. Or Daniel, whatever.
Whatever. I haven't been Daniel in a while.
Everybody that you saw in the room on the other cam.
Yeah, except for Dana. She had to go back to work.
Right.
Some kind of a coffee emergency, because coffee is serious business.
Apparently.
Yeah, I've been waiting to talk with you, James, for a while.
I know.
Just because I've yelled at Scott about things that I should be yelling at you about. He's just sort of a damage sponge.
Right.
About it. So I'm right along these things, and he's like, yes, you know, those are things that you just said.
Right.
It's exactly like that. That's exactly how it goes.
Yeah, see, it works both ways, though.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because Scott last week...
I don't know if you railed against Scott about things you wanted to talk with me about.
Yeah, I may as well, because Scott's like, well, because Scott's stupid, and he'll be like, hey, did you get some, like, message from Pork? And I'm like, yeah, god damn it, it's like this. And he's like, okay.
You should tell him.
I understand that.
Oh, the cam's working.
Hey, is it?
No, I got it.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I got the cam working now.
Okay, it is so awesome.
Let me jump into the chat room so I can see what you're seeing.
Where do you want to go?
We got to turn the light on now.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Can you see me now?
Hang on. I got to jump back into the chat room.
There we go. Wait, I can see something moving around.
Move your shit.
No, fucking, god damn it.
See a hand?
Ah, come on.
Loading. There we
go. All we see is loading.
There's a book. Just move the book, dude.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Brad Paisley.
What are you talking
about?
Brad Paisley.
I think you get the back of my head more than anything else. Was that your point?
Yeah, that's pretty clear.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
So, there you go.
Yeah, am I still in there? I need to start.
Okay, so I'm gonna go in a direction because I wanna hear James rant about something.
That's not hard to do.
Yeah, right.
Just say something, you'll set him off.
Let's watch the fun. So James, here's my issue is, like I had said in the chat thing there, I think that what you're looking at is that you want the scope of the games to match like where we've come with technology. Would you agree with that?
Not completely. No, it's not entirely that. It's simply that I think that we could have gone further. I think it's very easy to look back a little bit and recognize, at least for me, I know that me and the people that I was surrounded with at the time had certain expectations. Like we felt like things wanted to be better in a certain way, and that's what everybody was talking about. That's what, you know,
so
people.
Do you mean like expectations like Lawnmower Man, where we have like virtual reality type shit, or like how far should games have come at this point?
I think
like
it's
Madden,
more,
for example, how much farther could they have pushed that?
I don't fucking care.
Are there games that you do like as an like, you know, or some sort of how, like how they turn like how has it not been pushed far enough for you?
Well, you were there for my complaint. I always run to like a couple of really simple things, but you know, if I was looking at the design philosophies of Deus Ex and the second Deus Ex, I would clearly have said, obviously, this second one, this tiny, minuscule piece of shit, is the first game, and the second game is the much more advanced game. And I don't necessarily mean technologically; I just mean in terms of recognizing what else is possible in an environment, taking it a little bit further. And unfortunately, I'm not going to repeat it because I spent way too long talking about it. I think it said it fairly well the first time.
Damn it, Scott.
Everything that I said before you got on had a lot to do with that. I'm really, really sorry that you weren't here for it because...
No, it's cool. What I'll do is I'll listen to the podcast and then I'll understand. And then I'll listen to the other part and I'll go, okay, that was...
Yeah, you might. I hope you understand. You probably won't, because I think it only makes sense to me. But it,
no doubt.
Basically, what it was, and I recognize how much this absolutely has to do with me as an individual. I was talking a lot about games being sort of a sucker for the need, like of an individual of the human consciousness to explore. And how those things don't actually exist in the real world so much anymore, and that, you know, it's become my way of experiencing better stories. It's not that I don't read anymore; I still read an awful lot. But I think that this is a particular gaming is a particularly interesting way of telling a story, and it's stories that I want to experience, and I want them to be bigger and broader in scope. I want to go more places and see more things. I want more options. You know, I want to play something like. I want to play something like Morrowind and have it be every aspect of it I want bigger and better. Everything about what it is I want to be more, because I feel like, you know, if you make something like that, you have to say, well, this, you know, the world is as expansive as this, and it's as big as this, and it contains both the experiences and the characters that it contains. Like, but it's still just a small representation of something we're familiar with in the world. Wouldn't it be... Don't you want it to be more? And I would want to stretch those things out.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, having a good narrative is okay. Like, that can be all right, but what you want is... You want the good narrative to be backed up by just an expansive universe that feels like an expansive universe, or whatever, you know, for lack of a better phrase... In addition to the awesome narrative, like, so you literally are like, there's no suspension of disbelief. You kind of can, you can just get into it, and it seems as real as whatever is around you.
Yeah, sometimes.
In respect to the gaming world.
Sometimes. I mean, I am unfortunately a real, exercise in contradictions, because
I mean, that's why I like talking to you.
Yeah. I will totally come down, like, I am a suspension of disbelief guy in certain arenas and in certain aspects. Like, just as a small sidestep, I get so fucking furious when somebody bitches about a movie because it's not like the book. I want to melt faces when people do that. Because it doesn't ruin the goddamned book. The book is still there. It's on my shelf. I just read it. It's not ruined. The movie is what it is. Maybe it's not what you wanted. And right, see, this sounds like me arguing against myself. Maybe it's not.
I'm right there with you. We're on the same page. I'm following you.
Right.
Keep going. We're good.
But I find most of the time when I'm dealing with a video game that the idea, the whole concept is less about, you're showing me more. I'm doing more than any other kind of entertainment, whether it be a novel or... You know, a film or a television show. I am both active in the participation. You know, I'm viewing something that's as beautiful as a movie can be. The story has every right to be as good as a book, although it cannot work the same way, in my opinion. I would really appreciate genuine episodic storytelling, like, you know, you would find in periodicals or maybe in a book or a television series. But I think it has all those and more. So I find the need for suspension of disbelief is quite a bit less. And that the effort is fundamentally trying to move beyond suspension of disbelief and really, really present you with a believable world that you have to work less at, even if you're talking about it at a subconscious level. So it's not like...
So would I be right in that you find the games that might be on rails or like you're in a corridor, that just the fact that that is how the game was designed, that sort of takes away from it, because you can't get past that corridor feel, even if the narrative is amazing, even if everything else is phenomenal, it still ends up seeming like you're just walking down a long hallway.
It isn't just that. It's I can't shake the feeling.
The silence isn't now.
I can't shake the feeling that I'm walking down a corridor because it was too expensive for me to walk in an open field. That I'm walking down a corridor because someone somewhere had a deadline to meet. And
it's good time. See, I can see somebody looking like they're talking to the thing.
Can you hear us?
Oh, no. Did you lose us?
I'm going to type words.
Can you not hear us?
I guess not. That sucks.
Hey, man, you there?
Oh, yeah. Are you from that hold?
No, we didn't put you on hold at all.
You just disappeared. We heard you talking in the background.
I'm here. I was asking a very in-depth question that I can't even repeat now.
I was totally starting an answer.
I was so articulate.
You know what's cool is that you'll be able to hear it when you listen to the show after we post it. You'll hear his answer.
I was basically saying that, and this comes down to my inability to... I won't be able to do the math on this answer or the question and provide the right answer. I don't mind that I'm walking down a hallway necessarily. If they needed me to be walking down a hallway, that's fine. But what I was saying was that I can't shake the feeling that I'm walking down a hallway because walking in an open field is too expensive, or that I didn't have enough time to walk in a giant room. You know?
Okay, but dude. Okay, now hold on a second. Now. There's walking down a hallway to get to from point A to point B, and then there's walking in a large field. Do you really need the large field if it has no, if it's not really impacting anything, or is it just the environment itself?
No.
Needs.
No, I know what you're saying. I'm not asking for bigger for the sake of bigger. I'm just saying again. It's not a question of. I always need it bigger. It's like I said. It's a sensation that. Things are what they are because there are other constraints involved, and I would have wanted, and I just can't believe it's always the case that you don't want the field, but I see a lot more hallways now than I would have expected. That's really what it boils down to. It's extremely subtle, and it's not a thing. It's certainly not a thing I could fix because I don't have any firsthand experience with the development process. I'm sympathetic to it because. Right. Christ, man. I mean, the way... It's huge. It's enormously expensive. Takes an amazing amount of time. I said unwieldy in the chat room, and I kind of meant it. I mean, you don't steer the game development process like a sports car. You can't just change direction midstream, else you get... You try to steer it like that, you get Duke Nukem Forever. No, we're going to this engine. Oh my God, this is popular now. We need to move to that engine. Well, that shit doesn't work out too well. And I understand that. And I suppose my expectations are probably a little bit far beyond where things should be, but I'm not much of a mind to alter my expectations. I'd rather suffer disappointment than alter my expectations, personally. I'm not even sadistic, I'm just saying.
I guess one of the things that I find interesting is that once games got past out of 2D into 3D, we really didn't see that, like, these kind of issues popping up as much. Like, I don't know how many side-scrolling shooters or side-scrolling ninja games that I played on the NES, and it didn't matter that it was, whatever it was. I didn't, like, the technology constraints or whatever, it was inconsequential to me.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But then looking at it, moving into this other realm, it's like, okay, well, now we're in 3D, you know, now we have this We have this expectation of either larger levels or, you know, deeper storyline or all these other things, and it's interesting because it seems that it's kind of twisting it to where, you know, you have your sports games and shooters and racing games and things like that, but it almost seems like there's this sort of subgenre that hardcore gamers are looking for that is a fantasy. You know, Wizards and Dragons game, but it's realistic, you know, or it's a sort of a super hyper fantasy type where you're, you know, shooting people in the air like Devil May Cry or something like that, but it's those sort of subgenres that people get kind of pissed off about. It's like, well, this wasn't up to my expectation as I would have liked it, you know, whatever, but there's that.
I think that a clue to figuring out what the problem is, be it with development or expectation, has to do with the change in the arguments that we all started having, the tone of the discussion, the nature of the debate, when we moved, you know, for what's it been now? It's been 12, 14 years that we've been in, you know, the world of 3D gaming now. I'm trying to remember.
Around 95.
Yeah, so it's been something like that. I mean, it's, yeah, and the discussions are different. The arguments are different. And it was, you know, in the 2D world, at best, you've got an artistic representation of the world, which is really all we really know how to do in a game, is just re-represent a world we're familiar with, or at least something we're familiar with from our imaginations or from someone else's imagination. But essentially, you're just representing some aspect of the world. And in 2D, you're literally restricted to an artistic representation of it. 3D opens up the possibility of, now wait a minute, we can actually work towards the idea of realistic representation. And yeah, maybe that's a harder fucking climb than we thought it would be. I mean, maybe that's part of what it is. But again, you know, I hold a grudge. And then I think about Deus Ex, and I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. That first game was mad ass cool. And that second game, I was fed a line of bullshit about why it wasn't as good as the first one. And it was all bullshit. And I'm sorry. Even if I had just been told straight, oh, we're making this shit for the Xbox, fuck you, PC gamers, you know? I could have at least recognized that for what it was. But to try to claim that was the purity of the vision, that the vision was intact, I didn't believe for a second. And so I've just been distrustful ever since then that the hallway was the vision and not the field. That's basically where it is for me.
Deus Ex 2 fucked you up pretty bad.
I was extremely angry about it. Hell, that was a dude that I never had reason to disbelieve prior to that.
Yeah.
And he was like, and that was at a time when there were a handful of people who would talk at length, very artistically, very, you know, I mean, movingly about where they thought that this medium should go. It was at a time when people didn't talk about the industry. They talked about the medium, you know, as if it were as tangible as paint, you know, as solid as marble. It was something you carved, you looked at its raw form and you found art inside of it. That's how they talked. Nobody fucking talks like that anymore. People talk about the industry. They talk about numbers. They talk about why they can't do something. And I just feel like at all corners, that's the discussion we're having. And then to see a lot of these same people who are talking about the medium, like to just completely back some horse shit about why things are what they are. It upset me, man. It pissed me off a lot. And like I said, I'm just distrustful now.
So do you think that it was sort of like a Brave New World type thing, where back before we really knew what we could do with the tools that we had the expectations set, and then once we actually started, you know, creating these games and everything, then we start seeing it's like, wow, we actually couldn't do that thing. And so then it was sort of like a step back. And it's like the sobering realization that the monster that we're trying to tame is bigger than it is, and so we're just going to have to do what we can with it. Because, I don't know, that's kind of something that I've been thinking about for a while, is it seems that the game's just, like, the whole industry just has grown really fast, just in technology and awesome.
Probably too fast.
That's
what I'm saying, is that in how fast that it's grown, you have all these developers coming in, all these engines, all these things, all like the consoles, them growing and changing, all the different things that we programmed for, all the expectations, whatever, like, are we making a game that's exactly like this other thing? What is the expectation that the consumer has for what we're making? And then it's like, all right, well, let's make it. All right, we're gonna go to, you know, E3 back when E3 existed, and here's all this awesome stuff we're going to do. And then it's like, yeah, you guys think you're going to do that awesome stuff, but I'm not seeing it. It's like, well, yeah, we thought we could do it before we started, and now we found out that we can't. So pretty much here's what we've got. And I almost wonder if it's not the industry's fault in that right, in sort of, you know, selling that bill of goods well before, and then setting up that expectation that, you know, the whole industry's going to have about it, only to end up having
I don't know that it'd necessarily be their fault that, you know, we had that expectation. I mean, it seemed like a natural expectation to have at the time. And, you know, I look now at, say, at contrast two games, Oblivion and Mass Effect. It seems like you can either have a really big, expansive world, and everybody interacts pretty much the same, because to have that many people in there, you can't have it unique interactions with everybody like you can in Mass Effect, because you just... It would take, you know, too big a development staff, too many people, too many, you know, hours, too much writing, too much money to come up with something the size of Oblivion that has the content, you know, of Mass Effect.
Do you think that the consumer should expect from something like Mass Effect, like just a game like Mass Effect, the same thing that they do from Oblivion? If Oblivion comes out, that they should essentially be able to look at Mass Effect and go, I expect Mass Effect to be like this because Oblivion did it.
Well, I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that, but I think that 10 years ago, I think that was a natural expectation, you know, based on how things were changing and evolving at the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, once you raise the bar, you can't lower it back.
Yeah,
down.
I mean, now I don't expect that at all, but...
What a person should expect, fuck if I know. I mean, I don't know, because obviously that game has met expectations. So by the only thing that matters, apparently they should not. However, and what you were saying a minute ago, I will agree with you, but obviously I have to do it by, you know, slightly disagreeing with you. To say that the beast was too great to tame makes it sound like it was always, that it was nothing, that it was a virtuous struggle. My problem is, I believe that there were a lot of people who never intended to tame the fucking beast. They just tended to turn a profit on the spectacle. That if everybody, perhaps everyone, had laid hands on the reins, then maybe we could have. But I think it became... I think it became too easy to say that it was too hard. You know what I mean? So I think that some of it is about, yes, it certainly got out of control. But I also think that there was a profiteering nature to how people treated this thing as an industry, when we definitely started realizing the insane amount of money it would eventually generate. So, yeah, you... Okay. I don't know. I mean, that's it's basically kind of the same thing, but from my perspective.
I'm against.
And I mean, really, like I said...
This is one of the things I was really interested in speaking with you guys about today. It's just because, I mean, I hear you guys talking all the time, and I can usually only just type in the chat thing.
You know, frustrating that is.
But to get into, you know, a deeper thing, because really when it comes down to it, it's like, the, you know, games, like you guys are talking about, you know, before games got huge... You know, that sort of like waiting for them to get big, but then once they got big, now it's like, hey, you know, get out of our pastime, you know, all of you people that don't really understand it or whatever.
Yeah, no, seriously, I don't need people who don't give a fuck about the history of this, or at least where it comes from and where we all wanted it to go, telling me where it has to be. It's another form of mistrust I have. But
I guess this is the thing, and I think I told Scott this before, is that the thing that I feel fortunate about being able to be alive, like right now, is that, you know, our grandparents or whatever, you know, they got to watch different things grow up. And what I mean by that is, like, the automobile, you know, the airplane, whatever. Like, we get to watch games grow up. You know, we get to go from, you know, Hercules graphics and Pong and shit like that to photorealism and games that have big name actors doing voice work that's really stoked to hear them doing this because you like them, whatever it is. But it just, I don't know, that's the one thing that I really like about the industry, is being able to see it grow into something that's profitable, that, you know, companies want to throw money behind to keep it going because it's something that I like.
Yeah, and that's
so
that.
Like, hey,
yeah, I will never be upset about companies throwing money at it. I mean,
yeah.
Man, I.
You know, because if they throw money at it, then I'm going to throw money at them, you know, and then it.
Yeah, I'm totally, totally fine with the with that aspect of things. I don't have any problem with it. But I know what you're saying. We're among the people who knew a time of no video gaming, where you're at that point where you get to see it change, just like there were
okay,
people
so here's,
who were...
Here's my question for you.
Yeah.
What was the first video game you ever bought with your hard-earned cash?
I don't remember what it was, but God, it fucking pissed me off.
Was it Sega 6-2?
No. No. Hey, you know what, though? But this...
That just added insult to injury right there.
No, man. It was... I do not remember the name of it, but this was... You know, and this... This is a lot of where I come from with games. This story actually is a lot of where I come from. And, like, I had, you know... I don't even know how I came about the money, doing, like, random little idiotic stupid things that little kids will do for money. And it was some freaking game on the Atari that I wanted desperately. I mean,
like
I wanted... I don't even remember what it was. I was so young, and I have never had any interest in actually learning about this video game. All I know is
I
that the
we
box
over this
art
and thought decided it was Berserk at one time.
Maybe I don't know. Whatever. All I remember is like White Hot Fury as like a 7 year old about this. All I know is that the box art was what I thought a game should be. The box art was essentially a representation of something happening in first person. You know, it was the box art represented first person shooter.
Yeah.
But at a time when we didn't really have any concept of a first-person shooter. It didn't really make any sense. But the box art fucking sold me on, like, I want to shoot this bug in the head, and I've got this really great gun. Man, I'm going to, like, walk around in, like, this really crazy place with, like, all sorts of hallways and corridors, and maybe it's a space station. I don't know. You know, I like space stations. Right? And I'm going to shoot all this stuff. And I bought that game, and I plugged it in. And that,
you other humans in the room.
Oh, for me, I do remember which one it was.
I think he's lost us again. Yeah.
Are you here? Hey, you there?
Oh, hold on. I can barely hear you.
How about now?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I was just going to finish it off by saying that piece of shit turned out to be like a string of pixels between two other strings of pixels.
Yeah.
And I was furious. I was like completely furious. And like ever since then, my whole idea was like, damn it, eventually, what's in the box should look better than what's on the box. And it was a long time before that started happening. And that's when I like it was at that point that I started feeling excited about games. The first game I ever bought with my own money pissed me off. So that set a real trend for me.
I don't precisely remember the first game I bought with my own money. I vividly remember the first console I bought with my own money because I sold my Atari 2600 and my NES and all of my games to buy a Super Nintendo and Street Fighter 2.
Wow. That must have been a lot of games, dude.
Yeah, it was. It was. I do remember buying some Game Boy games. I remember buying Final Fantasy Legend 1. And I might have even bought Dragon Warrior for the NES, but it's been so long, I can't really say for sure. But that's about as far back as I can remember.
And as far as going back and buying games, first one I really remember actually buying myself was probably Final Fantasy VII.
Me too.
I sold my entire Magical The Gathering collection.
Yeah. That was a good trade.
Yeah, it was a good trade.
Black Lotus is worth it.
I think wasn't in there for the Black Lotus or anything. I got in like right after all that had come out.
Okay.
Which was a shame, but I still managed to sell it for enough to get the game.
For me, the first game I remember saving up money to buy, was a game on the NES, DuckTales.
DuckTales
on the NES.
Oh,
however,
wow.
The second...
I remember playing that game.
Oh, God.
Was that the one where at the very end, if you did really good, you could be Scrooge McDuck and dive around inside of his big money pit thing?
I don't think so. It never happened for me.
No, because he played as Scrooge the entire time.
You play as Scrooge the entire time in the DuckTales NES game.
Yeah, I thought that you could jump around. I don't know. See, I don't even know things.
I wish I could have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, hell, they could have been just Sim Scrooge, and I would have been fine with that. Just diving in his money bin and flying around with Launchpad and playing his Gizmo Duck.
Gizmo Duck! Blathering blathers.
I would have gotten rid of Bubba, though. I'm not really fond of Bubba.
You love Bubba Duck, man.
Nah, I wasn't fond of Bubba. Well, no. It was fucking Mrs. Beakley.
Mrs.
Beakley. I wasn't fond of her or...
Webigail?
No. The fat one from...
Doofus.
Oh my god.
Yeah, his name was pretty much he was screwed, like, out of
like
that.
So anyway, guy's name's Doofus. I saved up for DuckTales, bought that, had a great time. So I thought, well, I got to save up for another game. So I saved up, and I'm sure there are rants online about this game, but I saved up and bought The Avengers for the NES. And that was horrible.
It's when you learn not to buy licensed products.
No, that was when I learned to listen to my fucking mother.
Oh, yeah?
Who said, you should rent it first. You sure you don't want to rent this? I'm like, no, it's The Avengers. I'm going to play this.
Of course, DuckTales was a licensed product, and it was really good. So I guess it kind of set the wrong precedent. Huh?
Oh, God, it was horrible. The Avengers, anyway.
Avengers.
But, yeah, so that's what I remember about mine. And then, you know, and I followed the trend of not renting games. I bought Back to the Future, and then I realized that movie Back to the Future and Knight Rider for the NES, and that's when I realized games ain't that great.
Stinkeroony.
Oh, mm-hmm. Big time. Although Tiny Toon Adventures, fun game. The very first one. So, yeah, I don't know. This shows you what I played. It probably says a lot about me now. I didn't play Dragon Warrior. I didn't play Final Fantasy. I was playing DuckTales.
Man, Final Fantasy was the first one I had on the NES.
Yeah.
Man, that was some great stuff.
Really? The first game on the NES was not Mario.
No, I got Final Fantasy.
Holy wow.
Crap. Yeah.
And
I was like, God,
achievement
seven.
Unlocked.
Yeah.
What was yours?
The first game that I ever ran, I love this story because it was totally like the. You showed me the commercial. I don't know. It just seemed like it should have. So the first game I ever bought was Blaster Master.
Blaster Master!
Yeah, and I was like stupid excited for that game. And so there's I don't know. Do you guys have Fred Meyer out there?
We don't. No, we don't.
No.
Those bastards are selling Fred Paradise.
Right by my house, and so I, you know, scrounged up the money, and all I had was $54. And it was $55. And I'm up there at the register. There's this line behind me, and I'm looking at my money. And this couple, I don't know, they in their like early 20s or whatever behind me, and like the girl nudges the guy, and he's like, okay, yeah. And they ended up giving me the dollar that I needed to push it over the top so I could get the game. And it was just like, wow, this is. So then everything kind of steamrolled from there, and I just have yet to sort of repay back, you know, and be that guy standing behind the kid that needs the $1, you know, but nowadays it'll be like $10 or something, and then give some weird kid $10 just so I can get a game.
Right. Compassion doesn't increase with inflation necessarily.
Yeah, it doesn't work out. You know, it's like, it was cool for me, but, you know, for these kids these days, man, I should get a job.
Especially if he's buying Madden, you know?
Shake fist.
These kids that I was kind of excited about them doing the Bionic Commando, which I was always a huge fan of, was I would love to see a new Blaster Master game.
Yeah.
They made a crappy one for the PS1. It really, really, really.
Oh, sucked. God, I'd forgotten about that.
There was like a sequel also on the Genesis, I think.
Yeah, the Genesis one was, it was alright, but, what's the company that did the Metro Prime games?
Retro.
Oh, I would love for them to do that.
Oh.
Would that not be awesome?
Ooh.
Yes, it would.
Three.
Yeah.
And it could end.
Eventually, I've already given them the
money. Actually go past level 8.
And the resources to make the game, but I don't know if they've gotten the mental check yet.
How far did you get in Blaster Master?
I don't think I ever actually beat it.
Of course you didn't. It ends at level 8. There's a jump.
I just remember that the only thing that I really liked doing was just upgrading the Sophia, the tank.
Yeah.
And I would just fly around, or I would go into the water and shoot stuff. But I don't ever think that I...
That's good, because there's no end.
If I had the NES Max, which was the little, sort of looked like the Xbox controller a little bit, but it had like the superpower or the rapid fire buttons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember that being like a feature on controllers. You know, it's like, sure, we got Rumble. Where's my rapid fire button?
Where's my turbo?
Or where's the slow motion? The pause and the basically pauses and unpauses the game.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That shit didn't help at all.
Like, whatever. I'm going to start a new company that makes games that I like. and controllers that I like, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I also had the Max when I was a kid because, you know, the kids with more money had the NES Advantage.
That's what I had.
Yeah.
Because I had the NES Advantage because I was like, how do I play a game with my thumb?
Yeah.
All I know is a stick and big buttons. How do I play a game with my thumb? So I had the NES Advantage the entire time.
But the Max had the slow motion and the rapid fire on it, which, you know, gave me all the advantage I needed. So
yeah.
I loved my Max, man. It was only like, I don't know, a few bucks more than a regular controller, so...
Hey, which
it was super weird for me. Like, you know, you have a little, you know, rectangle normal Nintendo controllers, mm-hmm. and then like you had the Max, and then there was this huge, like, TV tray sized controller, and it was people didn't know how to use it, were cool with it, like fighting games and stuff. And there was like so many more buttons, and I didn't quite understand why there were so many buttons. And I don't know. Am I thinking the different one? No, because it only had the two, didn't it?
Well, it had the regular controller, the Max, and the Advantage.
The Advantage was just the big, like, arcade.
Yeah.
But then it just had the two buttons. I thought it had more.
Well, no. It had two buttons, and then above those, it had these two turbo buttons that were on and off. And then above that, it had dials where you could adjust, like, how fast your turbo worked. Which I thought was ridiculous. I always wanted to go as fast as it. I never knew anybody to dial their turbo down on their Advantage.
See, I always thought it was like they were giving us so many options. You know, it's like I actually like my, you know, my rapid fire on three. You know, some people like on four, but I find three is manageable. It's like, why? We don't need that kind of control over our controllers. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, how far into the rapidness do you get before there's really no comparison between going from 3 to 4 or whatever else that they offer to you?
Yeah,
I've still got that controller.
On this stuff.
I turned my rapid fire to 11.
Yeah, all the way to 11. I've still got that controller. I might bring it in. Maybe that'll be a show and tell for next week. The NES Advantage.
Well, I've got a Max. I don't have my original one because I sold it to get, you know, my Super Nintendo and Street Fighter 2. But when I started rebuying all the things I let go of back then, I got... Everything I had when I had my NES and a Max is one of them. Even still have, I've got the instruction manual with it. I found one like in the box and everything. It's awesome. I'm probably going to sell it all again though, so.
Okay, so I have one more question.
Go ahead.
Or maybe more, I don't know. Just
not really an interview, man. We're just shooting the shit. And
no. I'm interested in finding out what you guys have to talk about.
You know what's...
Normally I just talk at the screen.
What's well,
it's really weird, you know. So I'm trying to get past that by just talking directly to you. So, how often do you go back and play older consoles?
Never.
Bingo.
I used to do it a lot, but I used to have a lot more spare time than I do now. Right now, I'm lucky to get in, you know, and finish the games that are out right now that I want to play. You know, the past couple years, no, I haven't gone back and played anything.
The only way I could count that is like playing Virtual Console or these retro games on, you know, the arcade or something like that. But do I go back and physically hook up the old console? God, no. I haven't done that since, I haven't done that since like 2000. Me and a buddy were just bored out of our fucking heads. It was midnight, and we're like, let's play Duck Hunt. Let's hook that up.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I had fucking nearly... I had a stroke trying to blow on that fucking cartridge to get it to work.
Like 7-8 years ago, I went back and played all sorts of games that I never either didn't play when I was a kid, because like Zelda 2. I hated Zelda 2 when it came out because it was side-scrolling, and fuck that. It's not a Zelda game. And I went back and played it and loved it and beat it. And same thing with Bionic Commando, except I didn't hate it originally. I loved it. I just couldn't get the hang of the controls. Beat Bionic Commando. Went back and played a bunch of old 8 and 16-bit games that I didn't when I was a kid. And, of course, I may have just, you know, satisfied that need.
I'm about in the same boat as Jeremy. I used to play it. I still have that portable PlayStation you sold me.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day. I still got it. And until about 2 or 3 years ago, I used to take that up to the theater and play it while the film was running.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was great stuff. Play some 9 on that.
Yeah, that's always what the
SP?
Oh, man. It's great for movies. I loved it. I remember we went to see... I remember they took us to see, was it like Scary Movie 8 or whatever was the last one that came out? and me and some of my coworkers just sat and played Advance Wars. It was awesome. Everybody's laughing or whatever. We're screaming when we're not supposed to be screaming, and it was great.
Don't go that way.
Yeah. Seriously, dude, I'm just going to take your base, and it's totally quiet now.
Yeah, I took the only time I did that, I took my SP in to see a movie. It was the Mel Gibson movie where he ends up being able to read all the women's mind. What Women Want, yeah. And I wasn't my choice, man. That's why I took my GPA. And my girlfriend at the time, like, you know, got really pissed at me for pulling out my GPA, and I'm not with her anymore. So, you know.
Back before the SP came out, I was I had a little kind of cartel thing going on, I guess, where I would install those
the backlights.
Lights. I still got
my GBA with the afterburner in it.
Cool as shit. Man, that cool. Unfortunately, all of this comes around to go back to full circle, which is essentially, regardless of, you know, being angry at Deus Ex 2 or any of that stuff, it's the thing that I like about it is that we can all look back at games that we found that were awesome, that were simple, that were super pivotal in, you know, our gaming, you know, life, and it's like, oh yeah, I, you know, sort of the reminiscent about, not like the better times, but it's like there's that sort of that shared experience.
Yeah.
We might all say that Deus Ex 2 sucks, whatever. You know, being able to go back to that stuff that was sort of the foundation for the industry, you know, the points when we were all scrounging up money for, you know, to get whatever game or...
Hell, man, that's why we worked at Software Etc.
Because they were busted or whatever.
I didn't work there for
the
fucking paycheck.
That's awesome.
Yeah, shared experiences everything to me.
That's why we look so forward to games that have co-op or multiplayer.
Yeah.
Is so that we can go through what we went through. Can you hear us?
Scratching your ear.
Damn.
Why is it my... Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess we're in another wrong diatribe about something heartfelt, this one. This one was heartfelt.
No.
This one was poignant. This was heartfelt.
We hear you fine.
Yeah, we hear you fine.
Okay,
you
don't hear
us.
You.
Right.
Okay. So that's fine. So, did you guys say anything awesome?
Probably not. We were talking about the whole when it goes back to shared experiences.
Yeah, we said that shared experiences are extraordinarily important.
Right.
For us.
And then we said that's the reason when games are announced, we're like, does it have co-op? You know?
Co-op.
Yeah. Does it have multiplayer? Does it have co-op? Does it have something where we can all do it together and share those experiences?
Yes.
That's what is
awesome.
Oh, yeah, no kidding it is.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard of the game Hegemonia?
I've heard of it.
I don't know anything about it, but I know of
it. It was made by this, I think they're out of Hungary, and it's an amazing game. The best thing that I can explain it is that they went and they watched every sci-fi film that had space battles. You know, big frigates and corvettes and then little battleships and space stations, and they're like, okay, all of those dogfights and stuff, we want to be able to put that into a game and then have it be just beautiful to watch. And they made that game, and it's Hegemonia, it's awesome. Hmm. So the thing that's cool about it is that it has co-op, but the co-op isn't defined. So my friend Jerry and I, we would play this game, and you could either control ships or you could deal with planets and sort of, if I needed ships built somewhere else, he would go through and build them and then reroute all the parts to these other places. You could rename all these ships. But it was super cool because we could go through and just define however we wanted the experience. And that was really positive for me because I'd like to see more stuff like that. Not too, like, I don't hate, you know, sort of a class-based system for co-op. But I like being able to kind of have it be defined by us, by what we want to do, instead of like having one guy, you know, be like, hey, I guess I'll guard the base. You know, and the guy has to. Yeah,
I agree. I couldn't agree more in that regard.
No, you're there. Ha. Are you there?
Yeah.
No, I'm sure. Okay.
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can now.
All right.
Can you hear me now? This is,
I don't know what what's going on. I don't know if it's like our.
It's all right. I'll just, if you guys can hear me, okay, then I'll just keep talking. I just think that, like, I have you guys just, like, you know, waiting, you know, just super into whatever I'm saying. You guys probably aren't. You guys probably aren't even home.
Are you watching the cam?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I see, every now and then I see you guys pointing at something and tapping on things. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm hitting the mic because I'm thinking, does the mic have a sleep mode? Am I going to need to wake it up? Yeah. Why can't he hear us? So, yeah, I don't
know. I think that if you go online, there's a, I think it's Hegemonia Legion of Iron, I think, or something. But there's a trailer there.
That's
awesome. But you guys should get that game.
Yeah, well, I picked up that one game you told me to get, and we haven't played it yet.
Oh, yeah, dude, you have to play that game that I told you to get. That's awesome.
And with that, you can't remember, can you?
Phantom Dust,
that's what it is.
Phantom Dust is brilliant.
Yeah, I don't know. It's still, I haven't even opened up the package from when I bought it off of eBay, but it's still there waiting to be played.
You have to, tonight.
Well, how about going online every now and again? I don't ever see you online. Or if I do...
Man, it's been tough, dude. I mean, I've had a lot of, you know, weirdness after, you know, holidays and everything, and I started playing the guitar, like the real one, not like the one with 5 buttons. that's the question that everybody keeps asking. I'm like, hey, I got a guitar. Like, yeah, do you have colored buttons? Like, no, like the strings.
It's got six
strings, like chord that goes into the three. No, like, it's a real one. Like, goes into an amp, and like amp, you mean like your TV? Yeah, so, and then that's the thing is, it's like I've been playing the guitar, and I've been playing this guy after the PSP a lot. It was the one thing that actually made me dust off my PSP.
You just haven't been playing the 360, then?
I just have not been playing the 360, but I need to. I was told that I need to play something called Griff Ball.
Yeah, I haven't, you know, God, you know what's really strange? I guess it's strange. I don't know if it is or not, but
that's what it is.
Yeah, you know, we do a whole show about Halo 3. We're all really excited about it. We go home. I call James. I'm like, dude, they're about to close. We need to go get our copy now. We go get our copy. We play that game. We're done with the campaign. We've co-opted everybody that needs to co-op it. We're done with the campaign. Fuck. I mean, that's sitting on my shelf now. I've played like, I don't know, maybe 10 multiplayer matches.
Yeah, mine's sitting on somebody else's shelf now.
I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I hadn't really picked it up.
God.
Again, and like, I know that there's a lot of people that are having a really good time with it, and I guess that I need a crew to run with. But I hear a lot of people constantly yelling at me to get Call of Duty 4.
And I would.
I got that yet.
Then get Call of Duty 4.
Get. And then there's, you know, the guitar and the.
Well, yeah, there's that. Yeah, you know, just, you know. If I see you, if... Oh, fuck. Check 1-2, 1-2.
What the fuck, man? It works every time.
I know. I don't know why I have to do that.
It's happening. Somebody changed the settings.
I'm going to have to go back and edit this and take out all those spots where I bang on the fucking mic, because it picks up.
Yeah, where I'm just... it'll probably add some humor to the situation, but I want to play more. Okay, so now you are the burnout person that I need to be talking to. Am I right in that?
If you want an unbiased opinion, no.
Okay, so let's say that I don't care about an unbiased opinion.
Okay, fine, talk to me.
Let's just say that I need you to help me to understand why Burnout Paradise is awesome. Because I've played the demo, I've tried to play it like 4 or 5 times, and I have no idea what's going on. All I know is that I have to go to some place to fix my car because it's stomped on, and then I have to, like, stop at red lights. I don't know. I crash into other cars, it looks cool, but I'm missing it. There's something that I'm missing here. What am I missing?
God. Well, you've played, I'm assuming you've played previous Burnouts, correct?
Yes, and the previous Burnout ones were like, here's your car, here's the road. Drive or crash into things. Do that.
Correct.
Like this is like a like GTA, only I'm in the car all the time.
Right.
Yes. Right.
So, well, yeah, that's exactly how it is. Well, I suppose. I wouldn't normally relate it to GTA other than the fact that it's a big open world. I would say that's...
Yeah. That's the same way that I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a gigantic map, and you get to drive around in it, you know, there's your relation to GTA. Here we go. This is what you're going to get. It's a big open map. You can drive around in it. You can do any of the things that they offer for you to do, any of the races, any of the stunt mode, any of the Mark Mann events, any of the road rage, anything in there. You can do it at your leisure anytime you want to.
Okay.
So there's your relation to GTA. In the fact that it's a big open world, you're driving around, and you can do whatever you want within that world at your own pace. Or if you don't want to do any of that shit, you can just drive around and crash into things, do jumps, whatever the fuck you want to do. Go online and do it with friends.
Okay. So it's just sort of that transition that I need to get past, but this is not something where I'm going to essentially have just the same city over and over and over again, either forwards or backwards, and with different cars. But it's essentially I have these cars, I can go everywhere, and it's not as regimented.
Yeah, I don't think it is. You know, it's obviously I got to play the full game for that, because I mean, seriously, playing that demo, I'm tired of playing the demo. Because there was only, you know, it offered me one race, and it offered me a stunt mode that, once I got to the top score on it, I'm like, okay, I'm done with that. And then it offers burning lap or burning route, which I can't stand and have never liked those in previous burnouts. Trials?
Yeah, I hate those things.
Fuck giving me a timed level. Fuck giving me a water level where I can't breathe. And fuck giving me an escort mission.
No more escort missions.
So, I mean, you know, it gives me those three things to do. So what did I do the most of? I went online and just fucked around with friends and, you know, doing jumps. And I'm telling you, it was a lot of fun having eight people in there all trying to do, you know, just doing barrel rolls and whatever the fuck else. That was a ton of fun. And then when we decided to make our own fun out of it, which I know there were some complaints last episode, we're like, we shouldn't have to make our own fun. Everything we're coming up with should already be in there, because if we thought of it, why didn't they? But when we came up with our own little tag mission, we told, you know, one guy was the it person. We're like, okay, you drive. When you get to a certain point, we're going to come after you. That was a whole lot of fun. It was cat and mouse. It was a ton of fun to do. And we'll be able to do that, but in a humongous area, when you have the full game. I'm talking huge, gigantic area to do that in. We'll have more races to play in. We'll have more stunt mode. You'll have more marked man. You'll have all sorts of stuff to do. And you can wreck your fucking car.
Beautiful. Anyone have as much of a problem with creating your own games within games? I mean, like...
Neither do I.
Going to GTA, like, the... How many you know, cop cars can I steal before they start shooting at me? You know, or I thought that Crackdown was really great for...
No kidding, yeah.
...making up little games and, you know, how many propane tanks can I stack in the middle of the road and...
Yeah.
How many cars will blow up?
How big can I make that explosion?
Yeah, but that was also single player. Try making up your own games with a bunch of random people on Xbox Live.
You can...
I don't like random people on Xbox Live.
Yeah, I don't do the random thing. I can tell you that.
I have a real problem with all of them because they all yell at me and they call me names, and I'm not sure why. Even if I'm confident at what I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah, there were some fun COD 4 multiplayer beta matches with you.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry for something. I probably did, though, but that was... I get that way sometimes. I remember one time we were playing a lot of Call of Duty 2 online, and I had this group that I was playing with, and I was told later that I, without breathing, I yelled about the French for 20 minutes and just railed on the French. And I'm guessing I did because everyone told me about it, but I really didn't like the French, and we weren't even doing anything with the French. It was just a place that I went to. It was a dark place, and I made everyone that was in the chat channel come with me. And now they know how much I don't like the French, even though we were killing Germans.
That's all right. You know what? Frog God Hero does it all the time.
Yeah.
He takes us to places that we may not have wanted to go, but he's going to tell us about them if he wants to.
Oh, yeah, dude, you're in this roller coaster. You know, keep your arms and legs inside the ride.
Yeah, really. When we were playing Gears of War, and was it Gears? Yeah, it was Gears. And everybody, and he's really good, so being on his team almost secures you a win. You just have to listen to whatever it is he's going to talk about, which, again, is fun. If he hears this, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. It's fun that I can talk about it, you know, that I have that to talk about, because otherwise I'm like, well, it sucked at Gears, but at least I learned what happened on Deep Space Nine back in 7 years ago, ever how long ago it ever was. So, but yeah.
I heard there you're talking about there's a Deep Space Nine pinball game that you like. Is that right?
Is there... no, we weren't talking...
No, we got into Deep Space Nine because that was part of the Space Quest thing.
Yeah, we're talking about Space Quest when we got into Deep Space Nine.
Sorry, I probably came in the middle of the conversation and just injected things that I thought you guys were talking about. I do that sometimes.
I don't know. Is there a Deep Space Nine pinball?
Probably.
I think it'd be awesome.
I don't know if there is or not. I know there...
I like the one on the 360. That one's great. It looks brilliant.
Pinball effects?
Happy
Mike again. Oh, pinball effects?
There we go. What was that?
Pinball
effects?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's like the spy one and there's the car one.
Yeah. There's the spy, the car, the skateboard street thing, and then there's the Buccaneer, the pirate one, and the haunted house. Both of those are downloadable.
I haven't gotten those ones yet.
But yeah.
The last thing that I downloaded from Xbox Live was the more songs for Guitar Hero 3. Halo 1 and Devil Went Down to Georgia.
That comes on the game itself, doesn't it?
No, it's the... No, wait, was it... It was the... There's the battle that's Devil Went Down to Georgia, but I think that this is the... Just the full song.
Right. Not the battle version. Yeah, I got you.
Do you guys have Guitar Hero 3?
I do.
I do not.
Does your blue button work okay on the control?
So far, so good, as far as I remember. I mean... Okay, I didn't buy Guitar Hero 3 with the guitar. I bought just the game.
So the one that I have the, you know, the detachable face one with all the buttons and shininess or whatever, but my blue button doesn't fire off all the time. And I was talking with a friend of mine, he was like, yeah, I guess this was a manufacturing thing, and it's kind of well known, and I wasn't sure if that was your experience as well.
No, I don't know anything about it.
I just use my Guitar Hero 2 controller.
That's exactly what I use for Rock Band and Guitar Hero 3. Is that one because
it works
my
for Rock Band?
Yeah, the Guitar Hero 2 controller on the 360 works for Rock Band.
But you just can't do those weird solo things with the buttons.
Yeah, it doesn't have the extra frets and it doesn't have the effects. The effects toggle that's on the Rock Band guitar for when you're doing in the
But really, like any time I've ever tried to actually move my hand down to the solo buttons, I fuck myself up so bad and lose my place. I do worse than if I just tried to play it with the strum bar.
Best part I use for the solo buttons are the freestyle stuff at the end of a song.
Yes, that's what I use it for.
I can nail some scores right there. So, all right, man. Well, it's wrapping up for us because we're 10:30 here. Okay, yeah.
Hey, thanks for having me on your podcast thing.
Anytime.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it was nice good time. I really enjoyed that, but I didn't derail whatever you guys were going to talk about.
No, not at all.
There is nothing to talk about. We just
there
fucking...
isn't a rail.
Yeah. We just shoot the shit, man.
Okay, I will try to be on the 360 soon.
Yeah, do that. We'll talk to you later.
Later, babe.
Bye-bye.
Bye.